Welcome to the Dirt Life Show with your host, George Hamill.
Yeah, welcome to episode number 120 of the Dirt Life Show. We got an awesome show for you guys tonight. Outlaw Series recap show. We got a whole grip of people that are going to join. Isabel Brunson's already jumping on. What's up? So we got a whole grip of people that are going to join us. Lots of new people that I haven't actually talked with before. A bunch of racers from local in Texas. Some of our California friends that made the journey over there. All of them had a fantastic weekend. The track was changed. All kinds of cool stuff. So I'm George Hamill. I actually got to participate out there, too. It was pretty cool, man, meeting a lot of new friends. So let's see. We're going to get Cruz Burchard and Bella Burchard on here in just a second. But, yeah, please share the show. Like, share it with all your friends. Share it with all the people that join us. It really helps us out a lot, and it gives the people that come on the show, it gives them all kinds of recognition. And we want all these racers to get a lot of support. So share the show as much as you can. Tonight's theme of the show, I think, is going to be, I have a feeling it's going to be, mostly how the kids are just growing and escalating in the sport, as well as just being like a sponge from watching all these pro drivers and stuff. So let's get Bella and Cruz Burchard on here, both Southern California kids that went all the way to Texas to have some fun. So let's get them on here. We'll hang out and talk with them for a little bit and see how their race was. Bella Burchard, what's up? Cruz Burchard, what's up?
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm tired as F, but did you guys fly home too?
Yeah, we did. We flew home this morning.
How was it? Just pretty chill?
It was pretty chill. I watched Netflix. I had Shelby sit next to me. It was nice.
Oh, right on. What about you, Cruz?
I watched a couple movies on Netflix.
Anything good?
No.
Dude, that new F1 documentary or series is coming out about last year with Lewis Hamilton and what's his name? Can't remember his name. Max, some dude named Max.
Oh, yeah. Verstappen.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into it. So you guys had a blast out in at Texplex. I saw you guys a lot of the weekend. Thank you, Bella, for coming on the live feed. That was pretty rad. And Cruz was just out there ripping, so that was awesome.
Thank you.
What were some of the highlights that you guys had this weekend? Bella, you go first, okay?
Yeah. Some of the highlights were probably watching a lot of my friends get on the bus. That was definitely cool to see. I saw everyone work very hard at that.
We're having a little hard time hearing you, Bella. I don't know if you have bad Wi-Fi or a bad cell phone connection.
I have really bad service where I live.
Yeah, it looks like Cruz does too, because his like went bogged out a little bit too. So we'll try and see how much we can get, okay? All right, so we didn't hear anything of what you just said, so repeat it and tell us how your weekend was.
It was nice seeing all my friends on the box. I know they tried really hard to get their way up there, and just watching everyone work cars and prepping and practicing. I enjoyed watching
Yeah, it was cool to see you guys out there doing so well, right?
Yeah.
Hang on a second. They're saying that there isn't any sound on Facebook, so hold on one second, all right? Cruz, you did pretty good, man. It looked like as the weekend went on, you were able to get more and more speed.
Yeah, definitely.
Was it difficult for you to get adjusted to the track?
Yes and no. A little bit suspension-wise because all the backwards jumps, but overall, it was a good weekend.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a pretty good weekend, man. I'm glad that you were able to get out there and do so well. Most of the guys, it seemed like as the weekend went on, they got better and better on the track, and you were kind of the same way. Did you make a lot of adjustments on the car?
We messed with tire pressure a little bit just before it started raining.
And we got really bad audio coming from you guys. We're going to have to kick your guys' butts, man. a couple people are joining now.
Sorry, my AirPods connected.
Oh, there we go. That's why.
All right, there we go.
Man, you sound so much better now. Okay, Cruz, so tell us how your weekend was and how you progressed throughout the weekend with the track being in reverse.
Yeah, so we had a really good weekend. We ended up getting first on day one and then I believe second in day two, which put us first in points, I believe, by a couple points, which is a great way to start the season.
It really
getting
is,
ahead
right?
In points and, yeah. And then track-wise, honestly, it was a new track for everybody, so everybody was figuring out everything for their car, their setup, and just trying to figure out what they like.
I feel like that like makes it like an even playing field, though, right? Sorry, guys, we had no sound on Facebook and YouTube. Little glitch, but we're getting going with Cruz and Bella Burchard. It makes it like an even playing field, though, right? Like, you guys can go and basically have a whole new track. Like, I know that when you guys started, you were going there last year, right? And it was like, oh, crap, like, all these kids know the track. Like, everybody's, like, one step ahead of us. Now it's, like, totally wipes the slate clean. And you guys both did really well.
Yeah, thank you.
Bella,
thank you.
How did you feel about the weekend overall for you?
Overall weekend was pretty good. I know we had a couple clutching problems, and we had to work on my shocks a little bit more. The car wasn't just set up to where I wanted it completely. I wasn't as comfortable in it, so I know we need to bring it back to the house and prep it more and get everything where we like it, so that
But you learned a lot, though, right? Because it sounds like you already have a plan of attack to see what you can do better.
Yeah, I got a pretty good game plan as to what's going to happen next round. I know I got to fix a couple things, but mostly just work on my driving, too.
Yeah, totally. Were you a little timid out there with the new track, or were you just, like, ready to rip?
No, it was fun. I mean, practice was a little, like, rough, just trying to figure everything out. So much people on the course, I was like, and freaking out a little bit, but after that, I got pretty comfortable and put my head down and started going.
Yeah, and the track changed a lot. You guys were able to keep it pretty consistent too. So we had a comment come in. Car One Fabrication said, "Cruz, where's the mullet? You got it hiding or what?"
Go and get it.
Is that what you were supposed to do? You win the race, you get a mullet.
Well, I was supposed to do it before the first round. And then, so we were supposed to do it on Friday, because last year we saw this person on Miller Road. They had a $20 mullet sign.
Uh-uh.
So we were going to go, and then it was closed. So,
no
yeah.
way.
Hey, yeah, I was
nice to meet you, by the way.
Thank you.
What do you think if your brother gets a mullet?
I back, honestly.
That's going to be so funny when he does. I had a couple questions about, like, the track in general, because when we were looking at it from the live broadcast booth, it looked so different on camera than it did in real life. I actually went and took a picture of it after the races. Did you guys have to drive on it when it was a little bit slick?
Yeah. So the first moto, Saturday, our heat in our main, it was kind of dusty a little bit. Yeah. Yes.
Like, look how gnarly that is. Like, it's all rock. It's all, like, turns into, like, and it's all hard packed. And then, like, I don't know. It's just crazy, right? So how did it feel in the car?
Rough. There was like, pretty minor changes we had to do because we had to deal with different things on days. So on Saturday, it was kind of dusty and a little bit dry. On Sunday, it was pretty, like, grooved and packed and slick. And it was just a lot, a different change, different stuff.
Cruz, what does that mean? Like, how do you forecast that or, like, plan ahead to make sure that you're getting the right setup for the next moto?
Probably just remembering when you come back to camp, like, how the track was, knowing that 5, 6, 7 races are going to be after or ahead of you. And then they're going to most likely water before your race, so that could change things tire pressure-wise, car setup, if they roll over one of the jumps more so you can hit it harder, so you need a stiffer suspension. It's
It goes into many different factors.
Dude, sounding like a true veteran. That's pretty sweet that you know all that stuff. Do you and your sister kind of vibe off each other and be like, oh, so what happened to your car, Bella, or what happened in this corner? And, like, tell each other good lines and different, secrets for the next race?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, sure. Man. That's like a pretty big team effort. It makes it so that you guys probably both can do better.
Yeah.
Seeing each other's lines is definitely an advantage that other people don't have. It's because we see the track on different perspectives.
Do you guys both use the same, pretty much the same setup, or you guys have way different driving style?
We have different driving style and different setup.
Dang, that's pretty cool, man. But the cars look like they're pretty close to being the same. So that's neat that you guys are able to do that. We don't have too much more time. We got about 8 minutes left before we got to kick you guys off and get the other guests on. So I'm just going to tell everybody who we have coming up. So obviously we have Cruz and Bella on right now. Jacob Geisendorf's going to come on with Corey Willis. Eddie Ensign's going to come on. Jaden Lindemood's going to come on. Holly Mulligan's going to come on, fan favorite over there. Brian Adkison, Colin Truitt, Hunter and Cody Miller, and Cody Taylor. So we got a stacked show, man. Pretty cool to see all those drivers wanting to come and hang out with us on the Dirt Life show, huh?
Yeah, I love the Dirt Life.
Hey, look it. I'm going to clip that and put it up for us. So you actually got to come and hang out in the broadcast booth, but too, Bella, what did you think of that? Was that, like, super great?
What? That was a whole different ballgame. Like, racing and then going to see what you guys look at was pretty cool.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
I feel like steering the car is a little bit more fun, though.
But I had fun.
Hey, Cruz, so we talked a little bit about on the live stream. We talked about, like, driving style and how, like, to be smooth, you got to really be easy on the steering wheel. And you can use your feet, your brake and your gas to be able to, you know, maneuver the back of the car and, like, keep it planted. Like, I feel like that was such a huge advantage if drivers knew how to do that this weekend just because of the track conditions.
Yeah. It's definitely a big factor knowing how to 2-foot drive, because when you're coming into a corner and having to switch your feet over to get onto the brake to whip the back end over and having to get back onto the throttle quickly, it's a little bit difficult. So thankfully I actually started driving pretty young, so I was able to learn the 2-foot driving type of thing.
Dude, you're and still then, young, bro.
Well, yeah, but I was younger, you could say. But definitely being smoother on the steering wheel's big, because you don't want to be jerking if it's like, so say you steer one way really hard, your car's going to want to whip, and then it's going to have a hard time getting back the other direction, so you want to be smooth, and then it'll bring you back around.
Yeah, exactly, because then you just start juggling the steering wheel, right? So it's way better when you do that. Did you also learn that at a pretty young age too, Bella?
Yeah, I grew up driving. My dad always taught me, and I don't know, I would go with him on rides and his cars, and I have a 172, so I just grew up there.
Yeah, it's neat that you guys know all that stuff already at such a young age. So I just want to give a shout out. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Facebook and YouTube. I see a couple comments coming in that the audio wasn't working, but thank you guys for joining us, letting us know. A bunch of your guys' friends look like they're joining and hanging out too. What was one of the funnest parts of the whole weekend? You go first, Bella.
Definitely the new track. Like, Brian did such a good job with setting that up and making sure that everyone was comfortable and having a good time and safe. That was probably my fun time, so thank you, Brian.
Yeah, he did a good job making it, because it was reverse. Like, then it wasn't the same way the years before, right? So it honestly...
backwards. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it honestly added so much diversity to the track. Like, the racing all weekend was so intense.
Yeah.
Did you like the reverse track, Cruz?
Yes, and some spots no. No, because it was some of the harsh landings on the end, but otherwise it was a good time coming in. And like you were saying earlier, everyone has a fresh slate, so it's like everyone's setting new lap times, and it's like just everybody's new to the track, so it's fun.
Yeah, I feel like that makes it a really big advantage to the guys that can figure out the track quickly. So, So we're at IMG Motorsports today. I don't know if you guys can see it. See that cool picture of James in the cartoon hanging out of his side-by-side? Pretty rad, right? So thank you to those guys. James just joined us and asked if he can do grinding because they're working in the shop right now. building race cars, having some fun. So when you guys are going home, what's the debrief like together? Because you guys are together. You guys both had completely different race weekends. You know, your races were individualized. What do you guys talk about on the way home so that you guys can both get better?
Just kind of recapping everything, like, I don't know, like what we saw, like what I saw that Chris didn't and he saw that I didn't. It definitely helps us get a different perspective and taking better lines, looking at each other's GoPro footage. It's all just learning.
You do the same thing, Cruz?
Yeah, it's, you always want to give other people information because it's, at the end of the day, it's going to help you out and it's going to help someone else out.
Yeah.
And so it's always helpful. And we also went to the fair on Sunday night.
No way. In Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's cool. Why, thanks for the invite, bro. Hey, so along with what you were saying, Bella, I really like that because it transitions us into basically what I was going to talk about tonight with everybody is that you guys learn a lot. Like, it's easy for younger people to really absorb and be a sponge when they check out some of the races. And you guys vibe off of each other, but do you guys get to go watch, like, some of the pro drivers in the pro stock class or the pro outlaw class, which is the pro turbo class, and see the lines that they're taking, how smooth they're driving, and, you know, like, where they set up passes, all of the different things, and then utilize that for your guys' racing?
Yeah, there's definitely some role models out there that we've looked at, and, like, I don't know, just making time to make sure that you look at the big, big part of driving, react to certain things, react to certain situations while you're driving.
Yeah, and you can visually see how they're doing it, right? I mean, you're a race car driver yourself, so when you see them, you're like, oh, that makes total sense because I slipped up a little bit in that corner, but they did it different, and now I can follow that kind of line or follow that transition and make it a little bit better for me next time?
Yeah.
That's cool. Did you guys get to watch the races together, Cruz, or did you and your buddies go check out the pro races?
I think me, Chase, Caden, and Aaron – we went and watched the pro races.
And then what kind of stuff do you guys talk about or what kind of stuff do you see out there that you can utilize for your race?
Well, actually, let me correct real quick. Chase actually races in the pro class, so I do watch him a lot, watching his lines that he takes, like how he sets up cars coming on the inside and then comes back to the out. It's pretty cool watching them, seeing what they do.
Yeah, totally. And then you and Chase can go watch, like, the Pro Turbo class, which is the Pro Outlaw class there together so that you guys can both get lines. When you guys are sitting up there watching, like, do you guys talk about it? Be like, oh, look at that line that we're going to have Hunter and Cody Miller on and Cody Taylor. They're going to probably talk about it as well as Corey from PPI or PPEI. But do you guys go like, oh, that's so much different than what I did or that's exactly what I did? Or, like, how do you guys talk about it so you guys can – absorb all the information and get better?
I feel like people look at things differently. So, like, me and Cruz would look at something and completely take something different out of it. So it's nice to share it so that we know, like, oh, I didn't look at it like that. Like that was good.
Yeah, totally different way of doing it. And then when you watch them, Cruz, is it just like, okay, I got five things different. I'm going to change for my next moto, and I'm going to cut down my lap time.
Yeah, definitely, because in the last moto, I believe, when I was battling with Landon separate, they look the same, so you can't really tell.
Landon and
so,
Luke.
So, yep, Luke and Landon. But, yeah, when I was battling with them towards the end, I remember one of Chase's lines off the hip where you come out and then cut in, and that definitely helped my lap time.
Yes.
And I think that's what helped me out to get the 233. So
yeah, that's cool, man. You guys had some pretty fast lap times too. All right, so I got two more fun questions for you guys. What is your favorite part of side-by-side racing? Bella, go.
Friends and family and people that you get to meet along the way and build relationships, because you'll have those relationships probably for a really long time.
Dude, that's exactly what the dirt life's all about. We love hearing that. All right, Cruz, what's your favorite part of side-by-side racing? Go.
Battling and having fun and talking with friends about the race that you just competed in.
Yeah, and you also like cruising pit bikes, dude. I've seen you.
That too.
All right, and then the last question for the night, tacos or hamburgers?
Tacos.
Tacos.
Nice. All right. We love you guys. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. Tell your family that we said hello, and I'm glad you guys are back safe.
Thank you.
Great job this weekend. See you guys later.
Bye.
All right. So we are going to get the PPEI boys on. We're going to have Corey come on, and we're also going to have Jacob Geisendorf come on. Talk with them a little bit about their weekend. Texas boys. There we go. We got to get your phone turned a little bit. I think this happened last time, Corey.
There we go.
Jacob and Corey, what's up? How are you guys doing? So we had a pretty rad weekend of racing at the 2022 Can-Am Texas Outlaw Series. Let me see. How did I say it last time? Presented by Red Bull all weekend, right? It was pretty sweet to get out there, level the playing field with a totally new track in reverse order, and just get back to racing, dude. Round one and two, it was pretty rad. What'd you guys think?
It was sweet.
Uh-oh, we're losing audio. I don't know if you guys have a bad internet connection or anything. Maybe you get a little closer.
What about now?
Sounds a little bit better. Now? What'd you guys think of the overall weekend for you?
It was good. It was fun. We learned a whole...
Man, I think it's probably your guys' internet connection. Are you connected to Wi-Fi, Corey, or are you on your cell phone?
I'm on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, maybe ditch the Wi-Fi and just do your LTE or whatever it is. So what's Corey? What Corey gets that figured out, we'll... there you go. Is that a little bit better? Wait to see how these guys can connect in just a second here. But yeah, the racing was really good, man. Seems like it's still a little interrupted or whatever you want to call it, a little slow.
Is that better?
Seems like it's kind of coming back a little bit.
The video or just audio?
Having a hard time with both of them, actually. Maybe go in a different room or something. I'm not sure. Wherever the Wi-Fi is better. All right, well, let me, while he does that, I'm going to thank some of our sponsors. So thank you very much to the guys over at KMC Wheels. Head down to your local Four Wheel Parts to grab some new KMC wheels. Thank you guys over at Motul. Perfect timing. Got my Motul hat on. And thank you guys at Shock Therapy. They actually brought the live feed, live stream to us over there in Texas. You can use the code DIRTLIFE. Get yourself some limit straps, steering rack, BSD kits. All kinds of different stuff. Tell them that Dirt Life sent you. Thank you to the guys over at EFX Tires. Thank you to everybody at Evolution Power Sports. Thank you to the guys over at Zollinger Racing Products. Use the code THEDIRTLIFE to get tie rods, radius rods. Match up with those Shock Therapy steering rack. Thank you guys over at Cryo Heat, and thank you to the guys at Solder Weld. All right. Maybe, hopefully we got a little bit better audio. So tell us about your weekend. Yeah, that sounds way better, Corey. How was your guys' weekend?
It was good. We learned a lot.
Crap, the audio just went away again. I wish everybody could just get California Wi-Fi in Texas, man.
Better?
No, it's terrible, man.
Any
it's,
better?
No, it's horrible. it really is terrible. I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to kick you guys off if it sucks, though, because the show's kind of sucking right now.
Yeah, let me figure it out.
Okay. All right, so I'll talk a little bit more about the races while we get you guys situated. So the track was in reverse, like they said, and, man, there was just so much good racing. I remember looking at some of the little kids all the way up to the pros and seeing that every single moto, there was, like, battles everywhere. There was just tons of battles. Like, the first and second guy would be battling. The third and fourth place guy would be battling. Sometimes all of them would battle together, and there would be shakeups. I mean, I remember one corner, the leader went back to fourth, and the third place guy went to first. It was like a big juggling match. It was really cool to see. So the track itself lended itself to really good racing, and the weather maintained all weekend. It was really, really cool. So I had a great time out there. We had some other people from California come, Jamie Campbell from Raceco USA, came out to support all the Honda Talon guys and check it out and you know, get a little bit of understanding of what it is like to race over there in Texas. Super, super cool. Vibes were high. First and second round were really, really good. And, yeah, we did have some good tacos. Thanks for bringing it up, Kate. Super hungry right now, and I still got a couple hours before I can go eat. But, yeah, it was a super cool race and a super cool event. The turnout was fantastic. Lots and lots of good racing. Also, the kids, man. Just like we talked with Bella and Cruz, I feel like that was the highlight of my whole weekend, was seeing the kids doing so well. Like, they were just killing it, man. Once I saw some of the kids the second day, or even the second moto of the first day, they were, like, elevating their game so much. Like, I don't know what happened. Maybe it was just because the track was new and all of a sudden they got used to it or something, but they started just ripping. Even the 170s, man. There was one girl, I forgot what her name was. I think it was Maggie. But anyways, number 47Y, I do remember that. She was out there in her 170, and she never let off the gas, like wide open. Sometimes she was even banging off the berms, just ripping. It was super cool to see that everybody was so fired up. So she was one of my favorite drivers. And, man, we had a bunch of other fan favorites. We actually had Isabel Brunson already comment in. She's going to be wanting to talk with Holly Mulligan when she comes on. She has a lot of fan favorite on the internet. Hopefully we can get Jacob Geisendorf and Corey Willis back on. Eddie Ensign's going to call in just a little bit as well. A new driver for me. I've never seen him before, and he really impressed me, man. He did a very, very good job out there, doing really well in the pro stock class. Colin Truitt ended up taking the win in the pro stock class. He's going to call, chime in a little bit on Instagram as well. It was super cool to see, man. All of the track prep, everything that the crew did to make it so that all the racing was, I don't know, up to par for everybody. It was super, super cool. I mean, they had barely had to put any water on the track because the weather was so good. It would sprinkle, like, basically water the track for us. It was rad. So we had a good time out there. Lots of support, too. So I noticed that a lot of drivers and stuff in the pits were, I don't know what you want to call it, helping each other out, right? So they'd be off the track. They'd be in the same moto, same competition. One driver wouldn't have anything wrong with his car, just kind of needed to prep it, clean it, and get it ready for the second moto. Another driver would come back, and the car would be toast, you know, missing loose bolts or whatever in the front end, you know, like bent rods, whatever it was. And the other drivers would come in, totally help them, and put that thing back together, even loan parts out. It was super cool to see, because everybody just wanted to race and make sure that they got through the first two rounds. So, got to meet some really cool people afterwards and have dinner and things like that. So that was really neat. Kind of boring for me to talk about, but you guys totally know what I'm talking about when you say, like, racing is a family and how things work, because that's exactly what it was like for me and for everybody else that was out there, because we all got to hang out and see each other since we haven't seen each other since the Texas 12-hour race, the Outlaw 12-hour race that we had in December. So it was good for all those drivers to be able to come back and have, like I said, high vibes and such good racing. So one of the, like I said, the theme that we're kind of going on for today's show, we're going to talk with Corey and Jacob in a little bit here, hopefully still, if they can bring it back. But it's just the kids, man, how they can be such sponges. And the reason that I wanted to bring it up was because my brain doesn't work that good anymore. The older I get, the more kind of stuff I forget and the kind of stuff I have to move on from. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, right? But the kids are like sponges, man. Just like Cruz was saying right now, he can go look and watch the moto of the pro class or whatever other class is and realize that he can take, like, minuscule different lines, or he notices if other drivers are pedaling it with 2 feet or, you know, being real aggressive on the steering wheel. All that stuff makes a massive, massive difference in the progress and the quickness that they can elevate and grow. So, and just how fast they get. We saw it with Chase Carr as well. There was a couple other kids, Isabella, was it Jaden Isabella or Caden Isabella? I forgot what his name was. And then Landon Popper. He also had a great weekend. A bunch of kids in the 170 class. Code St. Peter was a kid that had. He was 8 years old. And just straight ripping, like so fast, man. Looked like he's probably been driving since he was 3 years old. So to see all those kids doing so well and just impressing the crap out of everybody. Lots of sponsors that they had on board, too. The series is growing a lot, so it's really neat to be able to see all of the all the people enjoying themselves so much. And they, even the tech and tech area was like, I don't know what you want to call it, growing because they have more rules, but it's because there's so much more classes and so many more different vehicles. Actually, that's a good thing to touch on, too. Tons of different vehicles. Tons of different vehicles. We had Hondas, RS1s, Pro Turbo class had Can-Am X3s, obviously, and Razors, Turbo Razors, just a bunch of different vehicles out there. Super cool to see all that diversity. Holly Mulligan, she was driving a Articat, just all kinds of stuff. Clearly there was Yamahas. St. Peter reminds me, yeah, Outlaw Series. St. Peter reminds me of Chase Carr a few years ago. Totally, dude. Full pepper. The kids are just ripping now. So hopefully we can see if Corey and Jacob can come back on. Really want to get those guys on. But if they don't, then actually, you know what we should do? Eddie, I don't know if you're watching the show, but Eddie, why don't you try to join now as well, and we can do your part a little bit early, and then Corey and Jacob can come on later. So Eddie, if you're there, or George White, if you're there as well, why don't you try to join the show now, and we can get you guys on right now. Super cool to be able to meet all of these people as well while we were out there. So thank you to everybody, actually, for, you know, showing us so much love. The live feed turned out fantastic just because there was so much good racing. That whole production crew did a great job, too. Badass drone shots. Just so much cool stuff. It's Rich. What's up, dude? How are you? Isabella Brunson said it's very glitchy. Isabella, you can go over to Instagram as well. Sometimes on Facebook and YouTube, it just doesn't have the same look and feel. Looks like today it's just having trouble. Looks like we're even getting spammed through some of the YouTube channels too. So might want to just go over to Instagram. Instagram's doing really well. So looks like we are going to get Eddie Ensign on real quick. Let's see how he's doing and what he thought of his weekend. Man, he was fast all weekend. Took him a little bit of time in the first moto to kind of get up to speed, but once he did. Eddie, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Doing fantastic. It was cool to see you out of the track, man. So I've never met you before, but it was really neat to be able to see your progress through the whole weekend.
No, for sure. It's very awesome for me to actually do all that. I mean, I learned a lot during the whole weekend, to be honest. Can we see what she does the next weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. So when you go out there on a new track like that, when it's a totally different ball game, basically a level playing field, like what's the first thing that you think? Are you like, all right, we gotta like come out swinging, or are we gonna get used to it, kind of flow into things? Like, what's the vibe?
You talking like for practice?
I'm just talking about, like, what's the approach the first day? It's all new, right? So, like, are you guys have to come out swinging? Like, are you coming out guns blazing, or are you kind of working your way through the weekend?
Definitely, like, for practice, like, when we first started, when we first get there, we actually just keep going around, like, not fast, just, like, want to learn the track first, and then we start slowly learning the lines and, like, start learning the corners. And then after that, it started slowly getting faster and faster and faster, and then started getting really fast.
Yeah, so kind of just rolling with the punches, kind of making car adjustments as you feel. Do you have a spotter that you talk to so they can take notes on what you're feeling?
Yes, that's another George White with other racing.
Oh, right on, man. So he does a great job. Obviously, he's very knowledgeable at being able to look at the car from the outside. But when he hears something from you and you guys come back and talk about it, are you guys able to execute and make those changes pretty quickly? So for the second motos and the next day, you're able to go faster?
Yes, for sure. I mean, he points out a few things, and sometimes we'll bring an extra ride and I'll run around the track, and just he'll point out things and try to show me things, what I need to watch out for and what I can do better on and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so George was telling me as well that you're pretty new to racing. So how long have you been doing it?
Last year was my first year racing.
And so how do you feel compared to last year then?
Definitely have more confidence, to be honest. and it's going pretty good so far.
It really does seem like it's going good. You were very impressive the first day in the second moto. I don't know what lit a fire under you, but you were really, really driving the crap out of that Honda Talon that you have. It was cool to see.
No, for sure. Yeah, I started driving a little. The first round, it went really good. I was doing everything nice and smooth. Then I started learning that I can push it a little bit harder just to see what it can actually do. And then the second round, I just started. I got a bad start and went around the corner and everything, and it just started, I was kind of starting from the back again, like just from way in the back.
Yep.
And it was kind of just didn't go too good.
Yeah, but when stuff like that happens, it teaches you a lot, right? Like, you're able to learn from that stuff. Like, we were talking with Cruz and Bella and how they check out some of the pro motos, one of them which you were in, and they can judge stuff like that. Do you also do the same thing, like critique yourself, but then go out and watch maybe like the Pro Outlaw class or the Pro Turbo class and see how you can better yourself?
Oh, yeah, so for sure, like Cody and Hunter, they sure help me a lot, to be honest.
When you visually watch them, or you go in and talk to them as well?
Both of them, like just both. Like, I go watch them, and they give me little pointers, and it helps me a lot.
Yeah, that's cool. Hunter just chimed in, actually. It's cool that you guys can have that that vibe together, you know? It's like one of those things, like we always talk about it in motocross. I know that you're not a big motocross guy, but there's a lot of guys that race the 250 class, and the 450 guys help them. But then 2 years later, they're both in the 450 class, and all of a sudden, they're battling each other, right? Like one of these days, you're going to be battling against, you know, Hunter, Cody, everybody in those pro class or the pro turbo class. It's going to be pretty cool, man. So I'm sure you're looking forward to that.
Oh, I sure am, to be honest. I mean, it'll definitely be a few years. I mean, I just need a lot more to learn, and I'll definitely be up in that turbo class pretty soon in a couple of years.
So when you think about those goals like that and stuff, do you kind of break it down or like reverse engineer some of those goals and have it so that you can do little milestones, little things to get to that big goal?
No, for sure. You might cut out a little bit. What'd you say?
No worries. Yeah, it seems like your Wi-Fi is a little bit bad. The visuals, not good, but we're going to keep going anyways. I was basically saying, like, you have big goals to be in the Pro Turbo class and battle against all the top drivers, but do you kind of break it down so that you have little milestones that you meet so that you can make sure that you're achieving that larger goal?
Yes, I would say so. There's definitely some things that I'm starting to watch out for, and I'm starting to look out for, and there's a lot of things I still need to learn, to be honest.
That's good that you know that, though, right? Because that means that you have an open mind, so you can, like I said before, absorb this stuff like a sponge.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm absorbing a lot, like a sponge, like you said.
So, what's been? Actually, you know what? Let me ask you this question: what was your sketchiest moment of the weekend?
Definitely when I rolled the car.
Give us a rundown of what happened.
Basically just started from the back and...
What day was it, on the second day?
Yeah, it was the second day. It was the last race because the other three races went really good. But this last race just didn't go too well. I was on the line and launch mode didn't really work. So I went off the manual. I just had to go in and go. And it was kind of wallowed off the start. And I just kind of went, I was kind of mad because I was kind of... I wouldn't say I was mad, but I was just kind of starting to drive a little aggressive because I was kind of starting to go towards the back. So I just went to the corner, came a little too hot, didn't know it was a little slippery. Went up the lane, kind of slippery, went sideways, and just hit a berm and caught the corner, and it just took me.
Oh, man. And we call that be getting anxious, right? Like, you let your anxiousness take over. And every single racer, no matter who it is, has had that happen at some point.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm glad it kind of happened towards the beginning because it makes me learn a lot. So definitely, I've definitely been noticing next time so I can watch out for it.
Yeah, totally. I really appreciate that you're so open and so willing to talk about this stuff and to make sure that you know, I guess, is it called, you know, self-criticism maybe? I don't know what it is, but you know what you did wrong and you're able to move forward with it in a positive manner and fix those things.
No, for sure. I want to get better. It's just what I want to do.
Yeah. So that's what I kind of mean by the milestones and the goals and stuff is pretty much exactly that. And when you have an open mind like that and you're able to see what other people are doing better and to understand how to get better, it makes you get on the fast track to getting faster.
No, for sure. So, the first year, I was just kind of go out there having fun, and I was pretty hard-headed. So, with the George and, my dad and even Jacob, look at the eye, he would come over there and, show me some things, and I would kind of just say, I didn't really care, because I was pretty hard-headed. And this year, all I want to do is learn. I want to get faster and everything.
That's totally cool. And I already had this conversation with you after the races, but I mentioned it on the live stream, and I also mentioned it to you directly. You have so much speed already, and you have natural driving talent, George was saying, and it's only a matter of time if you just calm it down and harness that talent that you can really, really start seeing some extra speed in the vehicle and lap times.
No, for sure. I mean, I'll start slowly getting better and better. I just put it all at once, and I need to definitely calm down a little bit, and I'll definitely show it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that you can take it to heart and know what you got to do better. It's really cool to understand because you've been doing this for a very short period of time, and you're already up there doing very well. So you got to give yourself a pat on the back for that too.
Not for sure.
All right, so another question for you. What's your favorite part of side-by-side racing?
Definitely just driving the car and just, what I really like is my family come out there and watch me. I mean, it really helps me a lot, and it just promotes me a lot, actually, because it's I want to do better just for my family, and I want them to see me go up there and to the front.
Right on. Dude, any of your family, are they into racing and stuff, too, or no? Are you the first one?
No, not really. I mean, we're into side-by-sides, but we're not really into racing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. That makes a lot of sense. So do you guys go on trail rides and stuff, too? A lot of our fans and the people that listen to the show go on trail rides.
No, for sure. We have our own camp, on a river. So we usually go almost every weekend and just ride side-by-side all day long.
Oh, so basically what you're saying is anybody that wants to come camp out with you, we can just come hang out anytime.
Yeah, that's basically how it is. We got a couple campers that come in there, and we got water, everything, and we just electricity and passed out the whole time, and I just go out there and just ride around all the time, all day long, and that's pretty much how. I got a lot of seat time, just not a lot of racing time.
Yeah, that's super cool, man. I like that, dude. Because a lot of people in the that listen to the show and watch the show, actually, you could probably tell and give them some advice. They ask, how do I get into side-by-side racing? And a lot of them already have side-by-sides, go to the dunes, go to the river, trail riding, whatever. But how did you get into it?
Into it from my dad. My dad used to really be big on them. He would just go ride around with his friends. They would go river riding all the time. And slowly we started getting a couple more side-by-sides. Then we all just had one each, and then that's basically how it started.
And then how did it end up getting into racing?
Oh, how I got into racing? So Mr. George actually comes to our camp as well, but I've only really met him last year. So we were going kayaking, and he asked me if I wanted to come work for him. I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds awesome. So a few days later, I came to his house, and he started showing me some things, and started showing me some things about the shops and stuff. And then a few days later, he asked me if I wanted to race for him. And I was like, shoot, heck yeah, that sounds awesome. So we went to one of the races just to go, don't race, just go to one of the races and see how it goes. And then next time, we bought a bike just so we ride around and see how it would do. And then when the series started for next year, we started racing the whole series. That's basically how it started.
Yeah, that's super cool. And when you say Mr. George, you're talking about George White from Double E Racing. So you help him out too then, huh?
Yes, I'm actually one of his helpers for for shots. Like, I take my part and he too.
Right on. So that means that you have a little bit of an advantage when it comes to the shock department, because you can actually feel it in the seat of your pants, so to speak, when you're out there on the course, and you can visualize what you need to change to make it better.
No, for sure. I mean, I've actually started noticing even more. Like, I gotta come out, do some things. I'm like, you know, I kind of want it to be a little smoother, and we were trying to do something, and it's a lot smoother. That's going to take the hard starts.
That's so cool. You're fine-tuning it and making it better for yourself. What has been your favorite part of side-by-side racing so far?
Basically, just doing that thing and feeling the speed.
Yeah, it definitely gets addictive, right?
No, it's very addicting, to be honest.
Yeah, so that adrenaline rush, yeah, I mean, you can get that in when you go on trail rides or the dunes or wherever, but it's completely different when you have a dude like 2 inches from you or banging doors with somebody, right?
Oh, dude, it's pretty crazy, but I mean, you kind of just gotta be doing this the whole time with the throttle. Don't mean it's just play with it and everything and just learn it.
Yeah, exactly.
Learn how to move it and let off. No one went off, and no one put it back in the gas.
Dude, totally. Jacob Geisendorf just commented in. I don't know if they're going to be able to come back on the show, so thank you for coming on early. It was cool to see all you guys, man. And you're battling with some fantastic drivers. Like, who's been your stiffest competition so far?
So far, I mean, it's going to be Colin Truitt, and that's just one person I'm going for, and definitely Jacob and Cohen.
Yeah, there's some pretty fast dudes, man. And even some of the kids like Chase Carr, he did really well in the later motos. He was in a rental ride this time, so he's going to get a new car. It'll be cool to see all you guys battling, man. I like foresee some serious, serious racing coming this year.
No, I already feel it, to be honest. I got my feet wet, and I'm starting to see it pretty good.
Dude, that's so cool, man. I love the fire that's inside your belly, man. It's cool to see.
Oh, dude. I can already feel it, to be honest.
You got some pretty good people that help you out, though, too. Who's been the main people in your program?
So, you mean like you put some game and help it? Or?
Yeah, well, I know S3 built the car for you. Obviously, George White is helping you, and there's a couple other people that are helping you as well, so I figured you could give them some love.
So it'll be like 3 of his friends, and one of them mainly my dad, who did like all the electrical work of the whole thing. And then another one will be Mr. Anthony, that's one of his great friends and one of my great friends as well. And another one will be John Husser, which is another person that's really, really good at putting them together. And we got this thing done in 3 days.
Dude, that's crazy.
Oh yeah, it's pretty sick.
It's cool that you guys did that, though, man. Hard work. Did you ever think it was going to be this much work to race a side-by-side? Because it takes so much time, man.
Dude, to be honest, I did not know that it was going to take this much work, to be honest. Thought it was going to be a little easier, but it's just getting harder and harder.
So when I started racing side-by-sides, I came from dirt bikes, and I was like, oh, okay, we're just adding 2 wheels. It'll just be double the amount of work. No problem. Like, I can do that. But little did I know it was going to be like 10 to 20 times the amount of work than 2 wheels.
No, I mean, I believe it. I mean, even 2 wheels is actually more dangerous than 4 wheels.
Yeah, totally. Just the amount of work, though, man. All right, so we're going to get, some of our other guests on in just a second here. Jaden Lindemood's going to come on and hang out with us. So we got a final question for you. Tacos or hamburgers?
You know what? I'm
going
to have to say neither on that because I'm picky.
Oh, really? What's your vibe? What are you eating?
Chicken tenders.
Oh, big chicken tenders guy over here. All right.
Yes, sir.
Sweet. Give me the inside scoop. So if you ever win a championship, I got to get you some chicken tenders, huh?
That's right. That's exactly what I need.
What do you dip it in? Are you going with, like, Louisiana hot sauce? Are you going with, like, some ketchup, ranch?
Neither.
Oh, you just run them stock?
Plain.
Dang, dude. I would have never thought that, man.
No, man, I'm just a picky eater, to be honest. Not even
crawfish. Hunter Miller said the kid eats tilapia, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do eat that, to be honest.
Right on, man. We're going to get Jacob Lindemood on in just a second here. I really appreciate you chiming in. Thank you to George for getting it all set up, too. You did a great job this weekend, man. I'm glad that you have a level head under on you and able to know what you need to do to move forward. So keep it going.
No, thank you, man. Thank you a lot.
Yeah, no worries.
Now, I would like to thank some sponsors, to be honest.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'd like to thank PPI, Hess, HMF, Baldwin, Driven, and a bunch of other ones.
Yeah, well, you did a good job, man. Represent your sponsors well. So keep doing that, and we'll see you on the podium hopefully next time at rounds 3 and 4.
No, I you know what? I really want to team myself up there, to be honest.
All right. Cool, dude. All right. Well, thanks, Eddie. I really appreciate it, man. We'll let you go.
All right. Later, man.
See you guys. Super cool to see him, man. He's definitely got the fire in his belly to be able to do better. So I like seeing that. I like to be able to see that he's been doing so well with, I don't want to say a little amount of racing because I don't know how much he did last year, but with the minimal amount of racing and the time he's been in it, just we'll call it a year and a half or so, it's so cool to see how stoked he is, man. I really, really can appreciate that, and obviously the people that are supporting him as well. So, Jaden, I don't know if you're watching, but you're more than welcome to jump on anytime. We can get you on and hang out a little bit. The kids, man, they're freaking sponges. Like, it's kind of like I thought it was going to be super cool to talk about it right now, but it's getting to me a little bit because I want to have that same ability to soak up all that knowledge and improve all of the stuff that we do too. So we'll get Jaden on here, hang out with him for a little bit. He did fantastic this weekend. It's really cool to see, especially all the drivers and the way that they think. Jaden, what's up, man? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing really well. Can you tilt your phone down a little bit so we can see you a little bit better?
Yeah.
There you go. It's looking good, man. So, Jaden Lindemood, what class did you race this weekend at the rounds 1 and 2 of the Outlaw Series?
Expert.
So it was stock expert, or what was it?
Yes, sir. Stock expert.
You did really well, right?
Yes, sir. For the first day, I got third place, and the second day, I forgot to pull the scale, so I got disqualified.
Oh, so. Man, you're not going to make that mistake again, huh?
No, I won't do that again.
So let's tell everybody a little bit about that, actually. So, because it happened to our other guest, Eddie Ensign, a little bit, too. When you go out and race in these stock classes, the different vehicles are required to weigh different weights. So I'll just throw out an example. Say, like, an RS1 is 1,600 pounds, and a YXZ or a Talon is 1,700 pounds. I don't know what it is. But so you go out on the track, you race, and then you come back. And before you can do anything, before you take the car back to the pits, you have to go through the tech weight scales and get your car weighed, right?
Yeah, it's also hard to remember because all last year we know we didn't have to do that, so it's a whole new ball game on having to remember what to do. But it's it was a learning experience. We won't be doing that again.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Brian Atkinson just said 1650 across the board. So. It's pretty crazy, though, because a couple of people forgot, man. It's like, I don't know. It reminds me of an old Supercross race that I saw that Ryan Dungey and Ryan Villopoto both forgot to take the Joker lane, and they lost the races because of it. And, like, that's a lot of money. So it's crazy to see that easily those mistakes can be made, but you're not going to do it again.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be doing that again.
7FPV joined Dirt Life Show. Thanks for coming down to Texas. I just appreciate you guys welcoming me over there. Everybody had open arms for all of us guys from California coming out there, not just me. So it was really cool to be able to hang out with everybody. So what was one of the favorite parts of your weekend, Jaden?
Really just getting to have a whole new competition with all my buddies, Luke, Landon, Cruz, just... It's a fun competition between all of us four up there up front and battling for the win.
Yeah, you guys were pretty neck and neck the whole time.
Yeah, it was a fun race.
Hey, so I just saw that you were wearing your sunglasses. You got a sunglass sponsor that you're pretty proud of, huh?
Yeah, I got Heatwave to sponsor me. Yeah, they sent out the whole team some sunglasses and some merch to wear.
Dude, nice. Was that hard to get a sponsorship, or did you just reach out to them and then do your own thing?
Yeah, I had my crew chief Cody helped me out. He knows some people up there, so he helped me out get that.
It's super cool to see not just getting better on the racetrack, but using all of your networking and I don't know what you want to call it, business skill set to get a sponsor. So you know what we call those kind of sunglasses over here in California?
What's that?
Hater blockers, blocking all the hate, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Those things are super cool, but I'm proud of you for getting sponsors and doing the business end of things too, especially at such a young age. When you had the reverse track, was it like you come to the track and you're like, oh, crap, like I don't know the course anymore? Or were you like, yes, this is my time to shine because everybody's got a level playing field?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. You know, I like getting a new track because I used to race asphalt. And after a while, it got boring just racing the same track. So I like coming out there and just having a whole new track to learn. And just everyone has no advantages to because they haven't got to practice it.
Yeah, that's what I thought was so cool, too. Like, in my opinion, like, I always loved when the track was new and the track got super rough. Like, that's where I shine the most because adverse conditions is what I like. I just like it when it gets super rough. Do you like that same thing?
I mean, I like it rough, but then again, I don't. But it's also fun whenever it's rough because you start bicycling the car.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I saw when it was, I think it was actually your guys' moto, or maybe it was the pro stock class, but it had just rained and the track was, like, super icy. Was that in your moto?
No, it wasn't really there, but it was the race before then.
Oh, okay. So it was still slick when you guys went out there then.
Yes, sir. The first two laps were pretty slick.
Yeah, and then the track kind of came into its own. So you're talking about, like, that one moto, you basically got everything. You got super slick, just skating around, and then towards the end, like the last few laps, was when it started hooking up and getting on the bike a little bit, huh?
Yeah, it was definitely very slick after the first couple laps, but it started smoothing out and getting better.
So what were you like, faster lap times at the beginning or at the end? Like, where do you shine?
I was definitely probably more faster towards the end because just I could handle the car a little bit better. But whenever it was slick, I could throw the car like in the turns better, and it just had their ups and downs.
Yeah, totally. I don't know if you were watching the show earlier, but we had Bella and Cruz Burchard on, and I was asking them if they know how to, you know, like 2 foot drive and like easy on the steering wheel. How do you usually go about your driving style?
Yeah, so I actually do try and two-pedal drive most of the time because it's better for the car. Yep. Or my setup to have both more power out of the turns.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was noticing when I was watching you is you have really good rolling skates in the turns. Like, you don't, like, check the brakes and then try to dart out again. You really try to keep it smooth and flow through the corners.
Yeah, that's my goal, just trying to keep it smooth and know what's going on.
Yeah, well, you're doing a good job, man. How old are you again?
14.
All right, so you got plenty of racing left in you. Hey, what was your sketchiest moment of the weekend?
I don't know. I'd say probably my first race, just figuring out the car and all the new competition. But
Do you have any sketchy moments getting on the bicycle or like trying to like maybe blowing out a turn or anything?
No, I just really overdropped that one straight away, but that was really all.
Were you scared or no?
A little bit. Car got real sideways.
Yeah, sometimes those will give you a little bit of a pucker moment, right? Some of those new jumps are pretty cool, though. I know that step up go like buck a couple people, but it looked like it was cool because you step up and you have to hit it pretty fast, and then you got to jam on the brakes and make that inside turn.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's fun.
Yeah. What was your favorite part of the track?
I would say probably the straightaways or just having to, like, you had to know how to drive. It was very, you know, you had to know how to drive and handle the car. You couldn't just come out there and just full speed.
That's one of the things we were saying on the live feed is that, well, you mentioned it a straightaway, but there was like two really short straightaways. They weren't really ever straightaways because almost every single part of the track you were leaning on one side of the car, like either on off camber or turning the car. Like, so it was really, really busy course, so to speak, in the cockpit.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I liked it, but it was definitely a little bit different from all the previous tracks.
Yeah, totally. But you don't want just the all straightaways, right? Because then it's way less battling with all your friends.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot different because it's a lot tighter. You can't really turn passing the straights. You know, that's really your only passing way. You have to be smart with your driving.
Yeah, 100%, man. So, let's see here. Oh, what's your favorite part of side-by-side racing? We asked that to the other people as well.
I just like, you know, getting to hang out with all the friends and supporters that come out there and help out with the car. And just, if you break something, everyone's willing to help you out. You know, they're not, they just help you out and get you through the race.
Yeah, like the camaraderie is really cool out there, right?
Yeah, that's great.
So do you plan on racing the whole, the entire series?
Yeah, that's the plan. We're also going to try and make a couple Mid-America series races and just travel around, check everything out.
So it sounds like you got a pretty busy schedule for the rest of the year then, huh?
Yeah, that's what we hope for.
What's your goal for the whole year?
I'd like to get at least top two in the Outlaw series, and that's my main goal, and just try my best in all the other places we've been visited.
Yeah, just keep getting faster and faster, right?
Yes, sir.
E-Green 12 says Jaden's the best. Yeah, he's did a really good job this weekend, man. All right, final question of the night, dude. Tacos or cheeseburger?
Probably cheeseburgers, man.
Big cheeseburger guy? What are you trying to throw on that cheeseburger?
I don't know. Just probably plain.
Dude, everybody in Texas going plain, man. Eddie went plain with all his stuff, plain chicken fingers. Now you're plain hamburger, cheeseburger.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
All right, buddy. Hey, well, I appreciate you coming on the show. You did a fantastic job this weekend, and hopefully we'll see you out at the races for round three and four.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, see you, bud.
See ya.
Super cool to see how the kids do it, man. I don't know if we're going to get any taco guys tonight. We'll have to see, man. Everybody's trying to Luke Saffert, what's up, dude? It's really cool to see. Thank you guys all for joining. So, yeah, please share this with all your friends, all of the fantastic people that have been coming on. Holly Mulligan is going to come on. So, Holly, if you're watching, please join us now. Brian Atkinson is going to come on. He's race director and series promoter. He's doing everything to get everybody a fantastic venue to be able to go out and race. The series is just really, really cool. Lots of prizes and stuff for everybody. All right, let's get Holly on right now. And we'll get Brian to join us in about 10 or so minutes here. He can talk a little bit about it. So one thing that I got to say is Holly Mulligan is a massive, massive fan favorite. What's up, girl?
What's up?
Dude, I got to say, on the live feed over there at Texplex, everybody was commenting in. You got a lot of fans, dude. Family, friends, the whole deal.
Yeah, my family, they always just love to watch me. But my friend Izzy, she said a link to some group chats, so that's really who started it. So I have to thank her, because if she didn't, probably wouldn't have as much people watching me.
All right, Izzy, send it. You're hired. You can send all these Dirt Life videos to your group chats, please. Get us big numbers, girl. That's cool, though. That's support right there, right? And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier with some of these other drivers, is like, you got to have support for your crew, your car, all this stuff. But even at home, like, she's totally helping you out.
Yeah, she is.
That's rad. Hey, so the first round, the first two rounds of the season kicked off pretty well for you. How did things go?
Well, the first round on the first race, I went too fast on a bunny hop, I guess you could say, and landed on my side. I was first when that happened, so then I got knocked down to fourth, and
do you get scared when stuff like that happens? Because those are pretty big mistakes, right? Because you tip over and you're on your side.
Well, last season, the first couple of times that it happened, it like four times. But after a couple times, I'm like, okay, well, if I know what I did wrong, I can improve on it and make sure that it doesn't happen again.
That's exactly what we were talking about on the show earlier. How old are you again?
14.
Yeah, so being so young, you guys have the ability to like really just take in information and understand. Like, are you good with constructive criticism? Like, if somebody tells you, hey, you know what, you were doing this wrong, are you like, you know what, I'm going to soak that in and do it right the next time? Or do you just like get mad at them?
I listen to them and just like try and improve every time. Like, I go in that one spot, or just I just try and improve my.
So that's a massive a massive positive in life in general. Josh from Cryo Heat just chimed in. Josh, yeah, we mentioned you guys a lot because you're sponsored by Cryo Heat, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it was cool to see because, or cool to hear you say that because that's what makes humans in general good and racers even better is just being able to know what you're doing wrong. Make corrections and do it better. And the things that you're learning right now will go really, really far in your life in general because of the things that you want to improve in your racing. And those things will just inject themselves in your life in general. So I'm really proud of you for having an open mind and being able to understand what you can do better. That's going to really, really go a long way.
Yeah.
So the racing portion of it kind of, I guess, it moved forward. Like, you started getting faster through the whole weekend. What was some of the highlights you guys had?
Some of the highlights?
Well, winning.
Like, well, winning, obviously, but, like, just getting help from, like, my family and stuff, like, helping me improve, because, like, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have pushed myself so hard. So, I definitely like that my family gets to help me in this kind of thing, and I just get to like do this kind of thing because some people can't really do it. So.
Yeah, you're very lucky to be able to go out there and I guess go for your goals and go for your dreams, right? Motorsports are very expensive and it takes a lot of time and effort. So having multiple people that are helping you, like you said, your family and friends and everybody. I mean, you even got a media girl out there just hooking you up. So. It's pretty cool that you do have such a good backing. And you're driving an Articat out there. Sounds like it was going fast, man. You had that thing pegged.
Oh, yeah. I have to thank my dad for that because he just works on it a lot and makes it so it can just go faster every time I go out to race. So I have to thank him for that. But I just...
Who came up with the graphic scheme with the green lightning bolt on the side?
My mom came up with like the lightning bolt and the leopard. I came up with the color scheme, but I think I am gonna get it to where it's pink.
Oh, look at you changing it up!
Yeah.
What's your favorite color?
Probably pink.
I don't know who just chimed in, but they said hype girl Izzy. That's cool. So you're going to go with pink. I saw that you did have a pink seat in there.
Oh, yeah. It's like orange and then it's leopard print with purple.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, so it was a light color. Still super cool looking, man. I can't wait to see what the new car looks like after you get it all dialed in. Did I already ask you what your sketchiest moment of the race was?
No.
Yeah, what was it? Or actually, give me a sketchiest moment of the whole weekend.
Of the whole weekend?
Yeah, like what was the gnarliest moment?
Well, it was like for my first race like ever, like of the season, it was definitely landing on my side because that sucked. But like on the...
They got you back on your wheels though pretty quick.
Yeah, they did. So I have to thank just everyone who like pushed me up to get back on the track for that. But like... On the very last race of round two, I almost wrecked again because I went too hard and my nose went on the ground pretty hard, so I couldn't roll. So that was probably...
I saw that. So check this out. I was taking a... I don't know. I don't want to be great. I was taking a restroom break from the live feed, and I walked around, and I saw you go over that step up like this. Fully nosedive, and I was like, oh my god, please don't ruin it right now, like pin it, like please drive out of it. And you drove out of it, and I was like, oh thank god she made it. And then you just pinned it like you didn't even, like nothing was wrong.
Yeah, I was like oh no, and then like, oh we're good, and then I just like had to go. So I was like, okay,
did you just keep it floored like panic revved so you could drive out of it or what?
Yeah, I guess I like in the moment, I guess you could say. I was like, okay, okay. And then, like, I was like, here we go. I'm probably going to raw, and then I did it, so I'm like, okay, so let's just go.
Yeah, it was super cool to see you pull out of it, though. Brian Atkinson, race director, race promoter.
What's up, homie?
What's up?
Dude, it's good to see you, man. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know, man. It's been so long since we've had tacos.
Hey, so we were talking about like the track configuration and stuff. I know Holly liked it. Most of the other racers liked it. What did you think about it when you saw drivers like Holly going around the track?
You know, when we first made it, I was kind of like, well, this is way different from what we had last year. And I just kind of hoping not to scare off a lot of people, but nothing but positive feedback, right, from everybody about the track and watching them go. And it was a little bit, let's say, rough at first because everybody had that natural instinct to turn and go around the canal when we were running backwards, right? So after everybody kind of figured it out and realized that there were some arrows there pointing you to go in the right direction, I think everybody figured it out and it was awesome.
Yeah, totally. What was your favorite part of the track, Holly?
Probably the long straightaway in the back because with me, it's either because I got stuck behind someone in the other race that was ahead of us. So Peyton, she caught up with me, but once I passed him in that straightaway, it was pretty good. And even if I wasn't behind him or anything, it was still pretty fun because of like,
I think it's because she can just let that Articat sing. When it gets on that top end, then she's just flying down that back straightaway.
I always know when it's her because you can hear that thing hum by you.
Dude, she has a lead foot, man. She had that thing hammered down.
Yeah,
It was cool to see. You did have some pretty good battles on the track too, Holly.
Yeah, I did because last year I was used to going against Lacey and Tori, which they were great competitors, but they were turbo, so I was like always pushing myself with them. But like having people in round one when there were four people, I definitely felt more challenged, I guess, because there were four people. But in round two, Liz and I forgot her name, but they weren't there, so it was just me and Peyton, which she kept you pretty
honest for a few laps there, man. And she made a couple mistakes, but she still drove fantastic because after she got over those mistakes and she understood what she did, she really got back into her groove and kept you honest there. So there was no slacking for either of you guys. And what I was talking about with Jaden, Brian, was that a lot of the drivers like Holly and Peyton were really on the edge. Like they were always turning the car, right? You had to be really smooth because the track didn't have very many straightaways. You know, it had those two that like Holly just said, but it was cool because it lent itself to such good racing, like for Holly and everybody.
Right. A lot more technical this year. That's for sure.
Yeah. It was cool to see. Did you like, what was your favorite part other than the straightaways then, Holly? Cause I know that you sent it off that jump. Was that fun?
Yeah, on the box jump.
Well, you sent it off that step up. I don't know where the box jump was. I don't know what you're calling that. Yeah. What about the Daytona turn? Because after that, it had a really sharp corner, so it changed everything up.
Oh, yeah. I have problems on the sharper corners because I don't take them right sometimes, so I like kind of like go off the track, but I always try to like get myself back on the track as fast as I can.
What do you do when you know something like that? When you hear yourself say, like, so when I hear you say that, I think, like, okay, well, she's probably telling herself something in her head to make sure she doesn't mess it up.
I'm like, okay, maybe next time, instead of taking this line, I'll take that line. But if I can't really get it, I always ask my dad for help because he helps me a lot, or even my uncles. They help me a lot with that kind of stuff, too, whenever I'm having problems.
Who's your spotter?
My spotter.
You have a spotter? Do you have a spotter? Somebody that talks to you on the radio when you're going around the track?
My dad, and sometimes my uncle. Mainly my
uncle. Okay, so he's able to give you some advice. I think it's pretty cool that you're learning so much, man. Do you go out and watch the pro races and see how they do their stuff? Because I know that Brian and I were trying to watch those guys when we could.
Yeah, we try to watch them whenever we can. It's always fun watching them because they're always like, just like
smooth like butter, right?
Yeah, they're like, I was like, oh wow.
You see what I just did there, Brian?
I see that. I see what you did there, buddy.
I was waiting for Holly to say something, but she didn't. So, all right. So, what's your favorite part about side-by-side racing, Holly?
Probably just like the community and just like racing. And like, I just love everything about it and like to be a part of it all because my dad and my uncles, they definitely got me into this and I really love it. So, and the community and stuff, they're just nice. Like Jaden said earlier, like everyone's willing to help out and just everything.
Yeah, it really is cool. Like the whole thing, right? Like everything come together is really cool. So one of the things that we noticed obviously over the whole weekend is that you're a fan favorite. Brian gave us the opportunity to have the live feed over there. He put a lot of work into that with his team.
What an awesome job you did, by the way, sir. I mean, my phone was ringing off the hook all day today about that live stream.
I appreciate it, man. It's super cool to hear. We were getting a lot of text messages and stuff. But the thing that I like the most is almost exactly mirroring what Holly just said. There was a ton of work that happened, all the camaraderie, all the people that put it together, you included, all the drone guys, and everybody, you know, Zach and Josh that were sitting in there doing all the production stuff. But it gives the opportunity for racers like Holly, the pros, the amateurs, the kids, everybody to be showcased, right? So that to me was like a huge thing that I loved because we got to see a perfect instance of it that Izzy, Holly's hype girl, was able to broadcast it all over social media and, you know, showcase Holly. Like, that's the perfect way to showcase racing and side-by-sides. That's my favorite part of the whole weekend.
Yeah.
I love
the weekend it was.
Yeah, I love that. So, Holly, are you going to start getting a sponsorship by Izzy, sponsored by Izzy on the side of your car?
Maybe, because she's like, she was like earlier, she's like, make sure you bring me up. Okay, I promise.
The hype man getting her fame right now. All right, so we got one more question for you, Holly. Tacos or hamburger?
Tacos.
Yeah, there we go. Somebody even commented in saying you better say hamburger. You totally did.
I was cracking up reading these comments.
So thank you very much for joining us, Holly. Can you please tell everybody who some of your sponsors are and stuff like that before you sign off? And we're going to get, Colin Truitt's going to come on next.
Yeah. Some of my sponsors is Diamond M and like Maslanka and Rockin' M Ranch and so much others. And they really helped me through all of this, obviously. And I would just like to thank everyone who's helped me. Like my sponsors, my family, everyone. So, yeah.
Yeah, and having such a great track, we got to thank Brian, too, because he did such an awesome job with getting you guys able to race out there. So we're going to see you at round 3 and 4, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
How are the points looking for you?
Good so far. So.
Got to keep it going, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you did a kick butt job. Izzy obviously did a kick butt job marketing you this weekend. So we'll see you at the races next time, okay?
Okay, bye.
We'll see you later.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Brian, it's super cool to see. You know, she obviously got a hype girl, but she's hyped herself, dude.
Yeah, she was the fan favorite, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was so cool to see. So we're going to get Colin Truitt. Colin, if you're watching, jump on now and hang out with us a little bit. Like I said, the vibe of this whole show has just been how quickly all of the youth and all of the kids can change and like get going faster, especially on the technical track that you design.
Man, it's all about the kids, right? Like that's probably my favorite way to start off the races in the day. Watch the kids go first, and I love watching them go. I don't know if you saw, or you did probably see that clip when that one guy stuck on the dirt mound and our checkered flag guys was racing to give him a checkered flag.
Dude, it was so funny. I'm going to continue on that same note real quick, Brian, but welcome Colin Truitt to the show. What's up, Colin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into asking Colin some questions, I kind of wanted to talk about that because Brian was saying about the youth. Colin, I don't know if you saw it, but we had a kid get high center. I think it was number 18 in the Razor 170 class. I forgot what his name was, but he got high centered on one of the berms right there before the finish line. And Brian posted on the story, and I think I shared it too. But
was it the one that was stuck on his rear end?
No, it wasn't that guy. That was crazy, though, too. No, that was nuts, though, too.
That was one high centered on a dirt mound.
Yeah, why don't you finish the story, Brian?
Like two cars.
Yeah. This person was a new racer, and there was the last lap coming into the finish, and he high centered, and I hurried over there in my buggy to get him and try to shake him out, and Colin, our flag guy, the other guy, Colin, ran down there to help me, and we got him out, we got him free, and then he was trying to give him a checkered flag, and he just takes off without saying anything, just takes off, and Colin's chasing him like, checkered flag!
He's full dead, I saw that, he's full dead, straight trying to take the kid down and give him the checkered flag.
The kid was pinned, though, and I was like, holy
cow! And I think he actually kept going. I don't think he saw you, Colin, or I don't think he saw Colin. And he just kept going. We had to stop him.
Watching that. He was full dead sprint trying to catch up to him.
Talk about hype, man.
Yeah. I think that was his first race ever.
So, Brian, you didn't hear because you were out finishing some of the stuff up, but his dad and him came up. They were asking if they could ride or drive on the track afterwards, after the races were done as well. You already had the track crew working on it, so I had to tell him no. But, dude, he was like itching to keep going because he wanted so much practice and lap times, dude.
Yeah, that's great. That's what it's all about, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so, Colin, you had a fantastic weekend, dude. Eddie Ensign gave you a little bit of trouble for one of the motos, but, man, you were pretty consistent most of the weekend.
It was a good weekend. I mostly just tried keeping it smooth and finishing races because, I mean, last year was bad, but Eddie gave me a fit, and so did Chase Carr.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys they're going to be tough to beat this year.
It's super cool to see, though. Like, I was telling it in the live broadcast, I mentioned it a few times, and I told Jamie from Raceco, I said, this is the class that I want to be in because it's so competitive. Like, it's a – Brian, you can agree with this. It's a real driver's class because the vehicles are so matched.
Yeah. It was really, really good to see. You know, this was the first time where we actually added some rules to this and weights and motor rules, and so – I was hoping for a little bit of a race, you know, between these guys, and it ended up being a phenomenal race between these guys. And still good to see Mr. Truitt back on top.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, it feels good for him. But you know what? All of these guys are capable of winning. All, 10 of them that were lined up, they're all capable of being right there. So it's going to be a great year watching these guys go.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting all kinds of comments coming in. They're going by pretty fast, so we'll try to answer some of them. Colin, when you're lining up against all of these drivers and you have these new rule changes, a fresh track that's running in reverse, like we talked about it a couple times on the show already, it's basically an even playing field, right? And there's different changes. How do you approach it?
I had to approach it with a little bit of confidence. I mean, that was it. I came to it, it's like, hey, I've been doing this for a while. I kind of know what I'm doing. So I had to, I really had to get in my own head and not freak out. I mean, I was so nervous for that first race. I mean, just a whole new field, new competition. I was nervous. I really was.
But that's what makes it racing, though, right? Like, you got to have that feeling because as much as you need to push through it, like, once the gate drops or once the flag drops, like, that's when you're in your office and you're doing work.
Yeah. As soon as the flag – so a couple of things I've noticed the past few years, people come ask me about it. But when I'm waiting for the flag to drop, it is dead silence in the cab. It is just nothing but straight focus on the flag. And then when that green flag drops – nerves are gone. It's just nothing but racing and just finishing.
Man, talk about focus, Brian. Like, if he's saying it's dead silence there, you probably don't even hear the motor running or anything around you, huh?
No, because those Yamahas and those Hondas are just redlining beside me, and I've fully toned them out for the most part.
Dude,
it takes a lot of work to do it because those things are distracting.
I wouldn't have even thought of that, Brian. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. It's good that you can do that.
Yeah, it took a while.
How did you end up over the whole weekend then?
I went technically on paper. Eddie did
Eddie did beat me in the main event on Saturday, but on paper, since there was a little bit of, you know, problems on his side, I hate it for him, but I went 1-1-1-1 all weekend.
So you got the most points, cashing in on all the points. So super cool. It puts you in a really good position to be able to win the series this year. But like you said, you have some stiff competition. I guarantee those guys are going to be gunning for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 2 years ago, there was the guy that won the first two races. I mean, he had problems, so it can happen to anybody. And Ronnie Anderson last year, he had problems after winning the first three, and it came down to the wire. So, I mean, I can't let off. I can't hang out, chill out, or nothing. But now that I have a little bit of a points cushion, I can start trying some things and testing some things and just seeing if I can, you know, get faster and get better, because these kids are going to do it probably way faster than I am, and it's going to get rough. It's going to get rough halfway through the year, for sure.
Exactly. So, Brian, one of the things that I think is so cool, you've done a lot of racing and a lot of race promotion over the years. All of this new competition and the way that the series are now and how much racing actually happens on the track, lap times are close, like all of this stuff, kids coming up, it's insane. Like, it's like really, really good racing.
It's so cool. I mean, my favorite part of this whole thing is watching these kids just do better and better and better. And now, like, you know, like I mentioned to you about Chase Carr, watching Chase, you know, how we saw St. Peter reminds me of Chase Carr now, you know? So, like, now it's like all attention is going to be on Code out there racing and watching him get better and better and better. And hopefully, you know, we'll see him in the pro class here soon, too. You know, it's just, it's so cool to see all this happening.
It's really cool. Like, I guess, you know, Colin, like, it's so cool to see that these guys can learn so much, like, and come up and battle with you. But we were talking about earlier, like, with Eddie, he was saying that, you know, like, oh, I go to the Miller brothers and I'll ask them questions and we'll get advice and they'll like direct me where to go. Pretty soon he's going to be battling with those guys and, you know, you're going to all be competitors together. It's like crazy, right?
Technically, I still go to the Millers and ask them questions too. So. I still ask pros questions. I mean, I've still got a lot to learn myself, but I mean, the kids, they seem like to soak it up a lot faster than I am now. I mean, I remember when I started racing at 13, I was learning things just left and right that people were just like, how is he getting so fast, so quick? And it was just
crazy.
if you can
give any tips to some of the kids, because we were talking about like 2 foot drive and being smooth on the steering wheel, noticing how track changes, doing like better prep for the second motos in your car and stuff like that, forecasting the races, like what would you suggest to any of the kids to be able to do better to come race against you?
Learn what's comfortable with you, because I'm a 1 foot driver, which surprises a lot of people, but I mean, you got to learn what's comfortable with you, and you got to perfect it more or less. You know, quiet down in the cockpit. Just, I don't know, focus on what you're good at and get better at it. Ask questions. Pay attention to what other people are doing. Watch videos. You know, I always run a GoPro and I watch a video every time and just try to learn from it. I mean, the live stream was so good this weekend that I watched it, I don't know how many times, just to see what other cars are doing and how they're reacting.
Hey, so Cash LaCroix just said, what is it like being fast? Brian and I both have that same question, man.
It feels good. It really does. And I know Cash is fast. There's no question there. And also, Kanan Baker, he's fast as well. I can see him down there.
I bet you I'll skip you on that track with my Can-Am Defender, though.
Oh, with the tow truck?
Oh, you know I can get that thing on the track.
You know that track backwards and forwards.
Luke Safford says he's applying for some lessons, some driving lessons, it looks like.
I've gave him a couple lessons already.
When you have time, do you ever talk with any of the other drivers and the younger guys?
Yeah.
Do they come up to you and ask questions?
A couple of them do. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I like these guys out here battling me just as much as anyone. And sometimes I'll tell guys in my own class and be like, hey, man, your car looked a little bit weird to you. You might want to get that situated.
Oh, but cool.
Yeah, the Safferts, I'm good friends with them. I'd like to think so anyway.
And, good people.
They told me to jump in their car and, you know, take it for a lap or two and give them some feedback. So I jumped in it and gave them a little bit of feedback, some stuff like that. But
I don't know if Cash is being sarcastic. He said he's too afraid to race that big series, but Cash, you should come out and hang out. So what was the sketchiest moment of the weekend for you? And I ask this question because I know that you're a very smooth and very well-thought-out driver.
Yeah, I actually had a couple times this weekend that was just sketchy. Our dyno session before we even got there, we had some type of electrical issues pop up, which that's what plagued us half the year last year. And then Friday, I only got like two laps of practice in, and we had a cool pack wire go bad. It took us 5-6 hours to find what the issue was.
Oh man, that's a really weird issue.
Yeah, so I mean, like Friday was just all day. We were working until like 10 o'clock trying to find that issue. And then during the race, Sunday, the main event, come over into White Snake section, and there was just a random wet patch of dirt. And we all hit it just going as fast as we could, and we all kicked sideways. We all hit dry dirt, and most of us were able to save it, but unfortunately, it didn't look like Eddie saved it.
Yeah, and even
section where he...
The corner after that, too, a couple guys went over.
Yeah, that corner, I watched the live stream before I went out and raced to see what the track looked like, and I saw that corner was just an ice rink. So I kind of had an idea of what it was going to be like.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't know, Brian, see, people are using the live stream to get advantages in their racing, man. It's awesome.
You gotta use what's in front of you, man. You gotta use your resources.
Yeah, data. What's been your favorite part of side by side racing in general?
Oh man, I don't know. I've been doing it for a long time. It's a good group of people. You know, the Millers, Cheney. I know those guys. I've known those guys for a while. There's a lot of other people I've met through it. I mean, JD Baker. I'm staying at his house right now, technically. In Oklahoma, he's letting me stay here. There's just so many good people we've met through racing, and
the camaraderie and being able to hang out with everybody willing to lend a hand. I mean, like I can guarantee there's been handfuls of times that you actually go and break something and don't have the part on hand, and then you just go to another guy and they're totally willing to help you out.
We've had a lot of that. I hate to say J.D. Baker's name a lot, but he was a huge contributor last year of our program, basically, because he had so many spare parts and was just able to help us and had tools and so much. But
shout out to the Bakers, man. J.D.'s awesome.
Yeah, shout out to J.D. Baker. He is an awesome guy.
Yeah, it really is.
What was your favorite part of the whole weekend then? Because I know that you learned a lot, actually, especially in that second moto with Eddie giving you a little bit of trouble. I mean, what do you take home from the weekend and be like, all right, this is the most positive favorite part, and then this is something I got to work on?
Well, the best part was just seeing all the people happy for me to be doing as good as I did. I mean, for all the people that were like, man, it's so good to see you back up front. I even had competition that had been battling me for a long time that were just happy to see me do good again. And that was awesome in itself. So that was a big moment for just see all these people.
And then do you go home, like, as you're driving to J.D. Baker's house, we'll give him another shout-out, do you drive over there and you're just, like, picking it through like a normal racer does, being like, all right, I got to do this better, I messed up here, the car can be better here? Like, what's the vibe?
I mean, I was thinking of different setups to get faster because I know some of these other guys are doing the same thing. If I come to the next round with the exact same setup, I'm probably not going to be as fast as I was last time.
So, yeah, totally. Brian and I are obviously just armchair quarterbacking it because we weren't behind the wheel like you racers. But one of the things that I noticed that really was a difference between some of the amateurs and the pros was forecasting what the track was going to do for the second motos, because some guys nailed it and some guys were horrible at it and weren't able to do it. So is that a big thing in your race program?
It's getting bigger. We used to race XC Woods Racing where, I mean, you just went out and raced. That was it. And with short course and stuff, you've really got to get your setup right. And we've really been focused on how to do setups and stuff. And that's kind of why I was talking to Hunter Miller this weekend, trying to get information from him. And just, you know, I'm still learning. So that's basically one thing. I've been doing this for 8-9 years, and I'm still learning. So as long as you continue at it, you can keep learning.
Yeah, dude, 100%. And that's the racer goal, right? Like, you always got to keep moving forward. I mean, that's in any type of motorsport, but it's cool. D Green 12 said he'd like to think that he helped you out a lot because he took a bad luck from you.
We missed the Green this weekend.
We did miss those guys. You know, it's always nice to see those guys here at the track all the time. They're always super nice, but I don't want anybody to have bad luck in racing, but it's nice to get someone off my back, so thanks.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's I don't ever like to call it luck, right? Like, it's just something that happens. Like, whatever transpires through that year that you have bad, it turns into something good if you're a good racer and you can turn it around. Like, this year seems like it's already starting off very well. Unfortunate for Eddie, but like 1-1-1-1, it's starting off good, man. You just got to keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, and that's another thing I was going to talk about earlier is going into the Saturday main event, Eddie had a way better setup than I did, and that was just my mistake in not trying to adapt to what the track would turn out to. So I'm going to have to stay on top of that.
Yeah, that's good that you notice it, though, and it's clear that you were researching some video or watching the live stream to be able to see those things, because for most people it's hard to see because they're small changes. They're small setup changes, right?
It's just enough to make a difference. I mean, as close as the pro guys was, I think I got a photo from Harlan Foley, and it was like corner 7 or 8 or something, and there was 6 of us in the corner together. Oof. On lap 1. I mean, it's close. It's tight battling. So one mistake, you could lose like 3 positions just like that. So
Brian, so that means that, well, the track was obviously designed very well, but that means that if there's 6 guys in a turn, that means that they're at least 2 wide or even wider than that, right?
Yeah, there's some spots that are 40, 50 feet wide on that track, and then there's some spots where it gets down to 25, 30 feet, but I mean, it'll open right back up again.
Yeah, totally. I see a lot of people commenting in that they want to come out to the races and stuff. Colin, what was a highlight of your of the track that you can talk to these guys and kind of try to lure them in to come out and race, because that track was bitching.
That track was really fun. It was a driver's track. You know, it was if you had a little bit of skill or you could just get comfortable in your car, you could really have some fun. Most people had fun with the track, but the track was fun. The corners were tight. It was about, you know, ebb and flow. A lot of people say it didn't flow, but I felt like it really flowed, and it just changed back and forth. You couldn't keep one consistent driver style. You know, you had to adapt corner to corner and drive 3 or 4 corners ahead most of the time.
Yeah, I totally could see that, especially if you were in a battle or not in the lead, right? Because, like, if you were going to pass somebody, I'll take this into two sections or two parts of it. Like, it was really difficult to keep the lead if you had somebody on your back door, because it was hard to know what pace you could push in the different track conditions, right? And then somebody else could push harder because they could see where your braking points were really easily, because there was so many different lean angles and corner, right? So they could visually see it. But then adversely, all of the other battles could slow the drivers down. Like, if you had a battle in the front and the third place guy didn't have a battle, he had clear track, he would come right up on everybody. So there was so much different things that happened.
I mean, that's one thing is knowing the racers behind you and what they're going to drive like or what they're going to do. Saturday, I didn't know Eddie was right there, and I watched the video, and he was sending his car to get to where he was at, to where he could make a move when I made one mistake, and he surprised me. I wasn't ready for it. I didn't know he was going to be there. I didn't know. I'm not used to racing against him, so I just got to get used to it. But I know Cross was behind me, and I know that he, I know what he'll do in the track and whatnot. And a lot of the 180s helps, because when you do the 180, you can look out the window and see what's behind you or how close they are and how hard you need to drive. Or, you know, if you need to pick it up or take it easy. So it's just, it was fun racing. It really was.
Yeah, totally. Some of those 180s really lent themselves good to passing, too, because a lot of times you could even – I saw probably 10 passes that people drove around the outside.
Yeah. There was a couple corners where the banks were really far outside on the 180, and but you could use them just right, or you could, you know, go way outside, try to jack your car around and get a better drive on the inside.
Yep.
And I don't need to see people too many times.
What are those?
I
think it was you, and they can watch the live feed too, so I'm not telling any secrets here. But in that S-turns in the 180, you went around the outside, got a lot of speed, and then I think it was actually with Chase. You guys both ended up driving alongside each other all the way up that hill.
Yeah, that corner was pretty wet on the inside, so there was only like 1.5 good ways to take it. I say half because you can halfway do it good and halfway not. And you can just, I use the bank turn to drop out of it. I had so much momentum, and we drag raced up the back straight, which was super cool. But I mean, his car was fast. He was fast. So, I mean, neither one of us were going to let each other have it.
Yeah, in those stock cars, man, it was like neck and neck. The only way somebody's going to go faster is if the other driver lets off, right, or has a preferred line. Brian, yeah. Are there any plans to do any minor adjustments to the track? Or are we going to leave it the same? Like, what's the plan for rounds 3 and 4? Oh, it looks like we might have a little bit of lag in audio from Brian. So, what would you like to see, Colin?
I don't know. I like the track a lot. I mean, passing was, a lot of people didn't like it for passing, but it really mattered on setup and how you entered corners and how the other people were entering corners.
Yeah, setting up the pass, right? Not just setup of your car, but setting up the pass, like maybe set it up two or three corners in advance, right?
Yeah, you really had to drive a couple corners ahead of yourself.
Yeah, totally. I thought that was pretty cool, though, because then it really teaches, especially the young guys like we've been talking about all day or all night, it really teaches you a lot of understanding of how to race better in racecraft, right?
Yes, it does. When you're behind somebody, it's just, you can catch them, and then you can slightly lose them a little bit. You just got to start experimenting and trying stuff.
Yeah, learning all new stuff, right? Hey, Brian, so we were asking, as you got disconnected, about maybe some potential changes. Are there going to be any little minor changes or anything going to happen with the track for rounds 3 and 4?
Yeah, I heard your question. I have, last year we changed the track 9 out of the 11 rounds. I have a bunch of ideas for a couple different directions and maybe some new split lane stuff like that for this year. Yeah.
Oh, that's gonna be pretty cool, man. Look who we got here.
What's up,
man?
Yeah, it's setting almost the fastest lap of the weekend, Cody Miller. What's up, dude?
Almost.
Besides being the defender.
Yeah,
the
tow truck set the fastest lap, bro. We know that.
That's right.
Nobody times the tow truck. They all know. We just know.
All right. Hey, Colin, thank you very much for joining us, bud. We're going to get the Miller brothers on here and talk with Cody Taylor as well. You did a fantastic job this weekend, dude. Congratulations on coming out with we're going to call it the perfect start to the series. So we'll see you out
almost
at
flawless. Yeah.
We're going to see you out at rounds 3 and 4, I'm assuming.
Also, it was the mustache, as you can tell.
There you go. Do it for Dale, buddy.
Yeah. See you guys.
Later. Cody, looks like you're having a little bit of a good time.
Yeah, we're just out at a Mexican food joint. You know, that's pretty much where I live my life. When I'm not
the mariachis, or where are we at?
No, this one's called Rancho Viejo.
Okay. It's a new one for me.
Is it pretty good?
It's not bad.
Dude, I'm really mad right now because I'm not there.
Harder than bad.
All right, so let me give a proper introduction real quick here. So the Miller brothers went 1-2 this weekend. Like I said before, almost the fastest lap from Cody, and Hunter actually took the victory on that one. But I think it was like literally by like 3/1000ths of a second or something. Like the racing was so crazy, right?
That's plenty.
I was about to say 3/1000ths is big to Hunter.
All right, hey Brian, you got any final things you want to talk about? Because we only have 4 areas on the screen, and we got to get Cody Taylor on too.
I just wanted to say what a fabulous weekend it was. Gordy did such a good job. The whole live stream crew, frined at the top of Canyon, helping us take care of everything that we can do. Red Bull, everybody. Let's not forget that round 3 is the next round, and if you race at Can-Am and you're an amateur, you race for free. I don't know if you got that, but amateurs race for free if you race at Can-Am, so hopefully we'll see you all at the next round.
Dude, sweet, man. All right, well, thank you very much for putting on such a great race, Brian. We really appreciate it. We'll see you there for sure.
All right, boys. I'll be watching.
Later.
Later.
Bye.
All right, boys, let me get Cody Taylor on here. Make sure this tech genius is logging on with us. So give us a little bit of a rundown on what you guys thought right when you get Cody Taylor. What's up, man?
Hey, guys.
Give us a little rundown. We're going to go with in the order of people logging on. So, Cody Miller, you go first, and then Hunter, and then Cody Taylor. Give us a rundown of the vibe or the thought process going into a weekend that you have a brand new track, like totally different changes. Like, what's the vibe when you hit the track?
Yeah, pretty much just as soon as you get there, you're trying to get out and get as many laps in as you can so that you can learn the new layout. I mean, it's everything's changed. You know, there's a lot to pick up on, a lot of lines. But most of the time, we just spend our time setting up our big awning and trying to get all of our stuff pulled out of the trailer. We don't even end up practicing at all. I mean, I think I got like half a lap of practice on Friday.
Yeah.
Trying to set up the pits.
I definitely saw that, actually. And I was like, man, the first moto is going to be crazy because that's going to be your guys' practice time. And it really was, like, for Cody, mostly you. And then Hunter, like, but you know who came out firing in the first moto? Cody Taylor.
Yeah,
he did.
He pulled off early. He quit helping us with the pit setup, and he just went out there and
practiced
like
it was more important. Oh, man. Racer's race, dude. So, Hunter, what's your vibe, though, like, when you go into this? I mean, are you a little bit more methodical, a little bit more critical when you come in than Cody is, or what?
You mean smarter?
I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know what Cody was doing, but I actually did go practice on Friday. And so I just tried to run a bunch of laps, to be honest with you, because, you know, it was an all-brand-new layout, and I wasn't really trying to go that hard. But I just wanted to do a bunch of laps and try to figure out how I was going to put all the lines together. You know, there's a lot of really tricky corners out there. I mean, they were tough. Like, the track was super technical. It's not quite as fast as it used to be. And so, you know, trying to get those big cars to turn around those high 180s was tough, and we had to really focus on it.
Yeah, totally. And then so Cody Taylor, kind of the same thing, that like on the same lines as what Hunter's talking about. The track really didn't have I'm going to use air quotes, or straightaways, right? Like, you were always leaning on one side of the car or on the brakes or on the rear tires or something. Does that create a lot of challenging driving?
Oh, yeah. The track was super technical this round, completely different. And like Hunter said, we went out for practice. And all I wanted to do was make as many laps as I could within the allotted time. You know, we weren't going fast, obviously, in the beginning. Just trying to play it safe, see where we could push the cars, see where you could get out of control and end your day real quick.
Does that mean that you have to do a lot of setup changes after that? Are you, like, frantically trying to get it ready for the first moto, or how does it work?
Yeah, in general, the car is good everywhere the track is, but to run at their speed at the top level, you've got to adapt to the track at every race, no matter what. You've got to make just small tuning changes. As a matter of fact, Hunter had one of the flagmen on the starting line, Justin Cox, staged up on the gate.
Really? Did you had to make that quick of an adjustment because you saw the moto before you, or what?
Well, it kept raining, and then it would quit raining, and then I'd think about it more, and then it would stop raining, and it looked like it was getting tacky, and then somebody told me it was slick, and so I just kept going back and forth. Like, the weather really kept throwing you for a loop because, you know, it was so hard packed the whole way across it, especially by K2 when the rain was coming. And, you know, it's just like the perfect amount where it was either going to be so hooked up that, you know, it was like you're on glue. Yeah, exactly. That right there.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
But you throw some water on top of that, and all of a sudden it's just an ice skating rink, you know. So I was going back and forth between having my car stiff and soft, you know, trying to make grip out there. And I think that was one of the fun things about it, was not only was the track technical, but because of the weather, the conditions were super technical, and you know, you had to really think about it a lot.
Hey, so Cody Miller, like when you're battling against these dudes, like they were just talking, like, minuscule changes, like little changes to your shocks, maybe your sway bar, tire pressure, like, make a big difference. Did you adjust your stuff through the weekend too?
Yeah, so pretty much after the first race, I was in panic mode. Full panic mode because I couldn't get to the top. I couldn't. Hunter was going way faster than me. Cody was going faster than me, and I was just struggling. like crazy. So went straight over to George White's trailer and started making adjustments, started talking about a plan, talking about what could have possibly changed from last year. And not only did the track change, but my car had changed a little bit via getting wrecked. It was the last time it got used, but I rented it out to a guy named Bilko in Florida at a Nitro Rallycross, and he wrecked the crap.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, so I did all kinds of repairs to fix it, but it wasn't per se straight.
Oh, okay.
And regardless, I had made setup changes while we were there to make it work at that track. And so I had to kind of start going back and re-figuring out how to make it connect with Texplex. You know, everywhere you go, there's minuscule changes that make major differences on your laptops.
Yeah, totally. Do you guys all, like, actually, I can ask Cody Taylor this first, and then we'll go to Hunter and Cody Miller. Do you guys keep setup sheets so you know, like, what the car should be at certain races and stuff like that?
I don't know about them. I think it's all in their heads and in my heads. I mean, we start out the year with a base setup where we know where everything's at, ride height, shock adjustments, compression, rebound, and everything. Even sway bars, tire pressure, wheel width, offsets, all those things. But yeah, we're still I get a good idea to write some things down, but basically just keeping it all in our head and trying to stay organized.
Yeah, totally. We used to keep setup sheets, so I'm pretty jealous of Cody right now, Cody Miller, because I'm so freaking hungry and he's showing us his dessert. Looks delicious. Oh my God, look at that thing. Hey,
is that taco ice cream?
Yeah, it's fried ice cream somehow.
Dude, I never got that fried ice cream. I still don't understand. It doesn't comprehend in here. We'll let Cody eat. You can sign off if you want, Cody, but I really appreciate you coming on. Your weekend turned out really well. You actually were super fast the whole weekend. You guys were so freaking close, man. I can't wait to come out to round 3 and 4 and see you guys.
Hey, I really appreciate it, guys. I'll tune back on as soon as I finish this ice cream.
Yeah, no worries. As Cody makes us jealous, clearly. We had some of the kids come on before. So Cody Taylor and Hunter Miller, how do you, like, we're talking about setups. We're talking about driving differences. We're talking about being smooth, leaning the cars and all this stuff. Did you see or hear from any kids on how they were managing their weekend? Because I heard they came up to me, they were talking to me, saying they watched your guys' race, and you could see how they improved in their second motos in the second day just because of what they gathered from being around or watching you guys.
No, that's super awesome. You know, you try to be a good role model, and when you hear stuff like that's really cool, you know. And the kids' classes, like, they're the biggest ones out there, you know, and there's some crazy racing. I think the new track changes really lend itself to kind of leveling out the playing field in the kids' classes, you know, because like we said, they're so technical and the track is not that fast anymore.
Right.
So it really comes down to the driver's skill in the kids' classes. And, you know, it's not just like the youth classes. I mean, like Eddie Ensign, he is a kid, you know, Chase Carr, yep. That's a kid. I mean, compared to us especially. So, you know, it's not just the 170s and the smaller kids, but
I think even on the fun factor like that, I mean, it's so cool that you respect that so much. But on the fun factor, I forgot what her name was. I think it was Maggie, number 47Y. She was in the Razor 170 class. I'm just going to make an assumption here just to make fun of it. But it was really cool to see because you had pushed your brother, and I think maybe even Cody Taylor, you had pushed him wide in that last turn, and they had to go over the little berm, right, or go over the side of the track. But I watched her the next round or whatever. I watched her. She come out of that last turn, never shut her 170 down, wide open, banging off the side of both berms all the way up to the starting or to the finish line. Probably hit it like banging off at ping pong in like 3 or 4 times, never shut it down. Perfect.
Oh man, at least the kids were watching because Cody Taylor let me pass him in the same place Cody Miller did. So.
That was a good place to pass, though.
No, it was. And, you know, there were a lot of those. Like I said, it was tough just to even go through those 180s. So it provided some really good racing. You know, it was like kind of hang back and let the guy in front of you just barely make a mistake and you just dive your car in there, you know.
Yeah, actually that actually brings up a good question too that I asked some of the other people. Cody Taylor, what was your favorite part of the track then?
favorite part, probably the start. I seem to have them nailed down pretty good so far. And
where were you starting at?
That stretch. I was starting all the way to the outside of the turn, first turn. So, you know, that line was a little flatter throughout. And then with the first turn being pretty tacky all weekend, I mean, even if I didn't make it to the tire the first turn in first place, I was able to hold my speed all the way around the corner.
Because the other guys were grabbing the inside and slowing down.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think Hunter finally had a good start on Sunday in the main, and he may have had a wheel on me coming into the first turn, but since I had a larger arc around that turn and good traction, I just kept it in and was able to beat him around to the hole shot.
That's super cool, but did you see that little jab that he gave you finally got a good start?
I'll try the first to admit that, my start.
He's all complaining about his starts, even to us, yeah.
In that last moto, it seemed like every moto before, you know, Cody both have a wheel on me, and they just both squeeze me off and shut me down completely. And so the last moto, it's like I'm lining up way over here to the left where nobody's going to touch me. All Cody Taylor just lines up right beside me, and we're side by side and push Cody, my brother, into a big old tractor tire over there in the first turn.
Oh, it never fails, dude. Close tight racing, though, like you got to love it, right? Cause, and you guys probably learned a lot this weekend, though.
No, absolutely. I mean, every race, I think we're learning more and more, and learning more and more about setup because it's so critical out there, you know? I mean, I don't think I ever touched the track two times in a row without changing something on the car. And not just to try to make it work better, but because track conditions are changing out there. You know, typically in the mornings when we start out, the track has a ton of grip in it because they watered it. And then as it goes on and dries out, it gets slicker and slicker, or it starts raining and it gets really slick. And then it starts to dry out and that gets crazy tacky again. So, you know, you're just constantly evolving your setup out there and trying to learn more. You know, I've been doing this for so long, but you have to always be learning to improve.
Yeah, well, it's cool that you're taking all the stuff that you learned, too, and giving it to other drivers, too. Like Eddie Ensign just commented in, told us when he was talking to us, he said that you guys have helped him out a bunch, like, and obviously Cody Taylor, too. Like, all of you guys work together. So these little tiny details make such a big difference. And we talked about lap times already. 227.5 was the fastest lap of the weekend. But you all three, you, Corey Willis, and your brother, all had those same fast lap times. And then I think, I don't remember what it was, or if I even got Cody Taylor's, but it was like the next one was 227.8, like three tenths, and then thousands. Like, that's freaking nuts.
Yeah. I mean, and going back to what you're saying about helping people, I mean, I'm definitely getting older now. I just turned 36, and I'm getting a lot more enjoyment out of teaching people what I know. We did a driving school last year with Texplex and that Brian had put together. And,
cool.
Man, I had so much fun doing it. And I really, sorry, just myself here. I have a good time, you know, just sharing what I know with people, whether it's, you know, 100% right or wrong all the time. You know, maybe I'm not 100% right all the time, but I share my experiences and what I've learned over the years and know how to do. You know, Russ has been working really hard. We're trying to start building a YouTube channel, and that's a lot of the content I want to put out is, you know, centered around racing and set up and just share our knowledge, you know, everything from our car builds to set up to lines on the track, you know.
Sweet, man. Well, if you ever want a platform, a small platform, you're more than welcome to share some of those things on the Dirt Life. If you want, just let me know and we could talk about it too. So, Cody Taylor, what was your favorite part of side-by-side racing in general?
I've been thinking about this from your earlier shows and questions, and I think for me, what I enjoy the most, you know, I already like off-road racing. I like the rough terrain, mountain bike, race quads, dirt bikes, dirt track cars, go-karts, all kinds of stuff. But I think side-by-side racing to me the most is you can do all those things. You can hit jumps, you can go too fast, way over your head driving, and you can pretty much remain safe no matter what happens.
Yeah.
The way we build these cars with the cages all around them, we've got you know, high quality materials, we're harnessed in, we're fully protected, that anybody can get out there and race and you know, even if they make a mistake or some accident happens, you can, in general, if you're harnessed in right, you're going to be okay if an accident does happen.
That's a really good point to bring up, because there was accidents that happened this weekend, and some of them in the women's class, just like Holly said, and some of them even in the little kids' class, right? But most of the times, the car was still decent unless it broke a tie rod or something. They just flipped them back over, and they got going again. Like, it's pretty phenomenal how you can keep racing the side-by-sides, not just for the rest of the day, but for that same moto.
Dude, who was it that I saw a video of that? They did like a front flip going into the first turn and then landed straight up and down like this and just stood there.
It was, I forgot what his name was. It wasn't, gosh dang it, like Popper. It was the other kid that was racing against him. Douglas or something like that, maybe? But it was
entertaining.
It was so crazy. But the same thing happened to another driver in the Whitesnake in the back. Like, got stuck on the rear bumper and standing straight up in the air.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. There's a lot of action out there, for sure.
It's super cool to see. And then, so, Cody Taylor, are you pretty focused on forecasting how the track is going to be and setting up your car, or are you able to take it with your driving skills and do better, and I don't know what you want to call it, just your racecraft, change your racecraft instead of your vehicle?
We got to do both. I mean, we got to set up the car best we can to what we can see, what's going on the track. I mean, we'll be up while they're calling us to pre-station. We'll be on the tower watching, like, the pro stock class. And we were literally watching the live stream on our phones and watching the race in person, trying to see, like...
Or so the live stream.
Dude, putting in the work to try to forecast those changes.
Yeah. Trying to see what the cars are doing on different parts of the track, so we can see if it's tacky or it's loose, or find new lines, you know, see what the other guys are doing. But we can only do so much before the race, and once we get out there, perfect example was Sunday morning, Moto 1. We started racing, the track was pretty tacky, and yep. It began raining, and it, you know, it turned completely slick as ice when we had to slow our speed way down. At any moment, we could just make a huge mistake and go all the way off the track, and the guy right behind you that's, you know, paying more attention, he could have went right on by. So it was tough holding position just toward the end of that race with the rain.
So one of the things that I was going to bring up, and this is a perfect transition, so thank you, Cody Taylor, for giving me the opportunity, is that a lot of the young drivers, I think, can learn from something like this, is that Hunter changed his mindset, not just his car, immediately when he saw it get slick. You actually, I think it was you, Cody Taylor, that came to, you go over the Midlothian jump, you hang that right, go over the little off-camber single jump, and then you go into that left-hand 180. Yeah, I think you took the inside, really tiptoed around it because it was slick, and Hunter just bombed the outside and used that momentum and just came right around and drew up next to you, and I think he actually pinched you off going into that next right-hander.
Me and Cody got together in that turn, and there is some pretty good footage from the drone, Area 51, I believe. It is, we started battling right there, and we were basically door banging the whole way through the next three turns.
Okay.
Yeah, that turn was tricky. You could take the inside, but it was real dry and slick, and if you went a little too fast, you would end up drifting all the way out to the outer berm. Or other guys were going all the way out to the berm, kind of like in a supercross race where they go all the way to the high side and then pitch it real sharp, and then they end up coming out with a lot of momentum. So you could do either one, but if you go to the outside when somebody's behind you, just like these boys, they're going to go to the inside and basically do a block pass. Yep. So you'll come out of the berm with a lot of momentum, and you're either going to run into their bumper or you got to hit the brakes.
Yeah, I can. Somebody could dive bomb you pretty easy, but like when you're the chaser, it's really easy to make those decisions. And I thought it was cool because I noticed that you know, some of the younger drivers and stuff started seeing that stuff and started executing some of that stuff. So it's cool that you guys were able to show them that.
Yeah, and I think you know, give you a little credit here. I think, you know, the commentating on the live stream and actually breaking down what was happening that these kids were seeing on their phones, basically. Probably helped a lot with that, you know. It'd be kind of hard for a kid to watch it on the screen and pick out exactly what we did, but we did such a good job of explaining what was going on during the race you know, even when I made the move on Cody, you broke it down of exactly what I did and how it worked. I think that helped me pick that stuff up.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. Like, I appreciate the compliment, too. It was cool, though, but it's, you guys make it easy to see, and obviously the production crew made it easy to see. So it was really neat to be able to see that, though. And, I mean, again, we can even boil it down even more. I mean, the track lent itself to that, too, right? What's your favorite part of a side-by-side race? Oh, actually, you already answered this. All right, so sketchiest moment of the weekend, boys.
I had a few. I'll be honest with you. That back straightaway was so fast.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's one area that I was actually making up a lot of time on, Cody and Cody, because they would hole shot me every time. But down that back straightaway, I was just sending it down that thing, you know, and coming down towards the end of it, it was super rough, and you're kind of going around a little bit off camber corner, and it had that kind of knuckle in the corner that was like a take sideways. And I would hit that thing and just cut the wheel and jump it kind of sideways and down to the landing. And
oh, you're trying to do a Bubba scrub over it?
Oh, well, trying not to crash, but it's like go fast, you know. And then I swear I was just bouncing from one side of the track to the other down that straightaway just because I was getting beat around so much. But I didn't have too many sketchy moments.
Wait, Brian Atkinson just said Hunter overjumped Midlothian. That was a sketchy watching.
I didn't overjump. I did overjump it, but I was doing it on purpose just because I was trying to make up time, I think. But I was hitting that thing whipped for sure.
How about you, Cody Taylor? What was your sketchiest moment?
Exactly. That back straightaway was the worst for me. In the very first race of the weekend, once Hunter got around me, I was following him for a while, but he would get me on that back straightaway. But I would try to run that speed, and my car was just all over the place. So talking about setup, you know, that's one of the places where I was making adjustments to my suspension just to be able to run through all that rough off camber, you know, funny jump stuff. You know, that tabletop in the back, we were hitting so fast, we're jumping way too far.
Yeah.
And when we land, the car's a little crooked and it's flat. And just to be able to get the car back under control to make the next little zigzag that Hunter was talking about, you know, I had a handful doing that for myself. So personally, I was running a little slower through there. If I would have tried to run Hunter speed, I probably would have been on my lid.
Yeah, that makes up a really good question. So coming from somebody that doesn't race side by sides, I was able to take Caitlin out on the track, the girl that helps get you guys all signed up and helps manage a lot of the race. She actually got to go out on the side by side with me, and she goes, "Is it scary for all the drivers? Because every jump, you're kind of pointing it in the wrong direction. You're not going up to it straight. You're kind of twisted to the side. Like, so what's your guy? So what's your guys' move? Do you set up and then you square it up, or do you roll off it and just be easy on the steering wheel?"
To be honest with you, like, I've got so comfortable out there that I don't mind. You know, that like that little step up was a perfect example. You know, I would hit that and kind of cut the wheel right as I'm taking off to kind of pitch the car sideways in the air. And it would come off sideways and way nose down, and it looked super sketchy, but, you know, I was just so comfortable with it that I don't really think about it anymore. You know, same thing for that big roller off of Midlothian. You'd come up to that thing and you'd spike the brakes and cut the wheel going up the lip of it. You know, so you're coming up the top, the face of it kind of sideways as you crest the top, but you have to do it just to have a straight shot at the next turn so that you're not coming off it straight and then turning and losing time, you know?
So that's definitely a mature driver saying all that stuff, but you're talking about making the car so it's set up to get in the entry of the corner or to get down the next straightaway. So you're actually preparing for the landing by preparing for the launch.
Yeah, but, you know, purposely coming off the jump a little bit sideways just to square you up for the next corner better.
Yeah, it looked like it was pretty difficult to do that, though, in some of those spots because some of them were really sideways or whatever, you know what I mean? So, that's awesome that you're able to do that. Well, how about you, Cody Taylor?
Yeah, I'd say it's all – each jump is specific to each case. You know, it all depends on what the track is going to be like after the jump and how you need the car to be positioned when you land. Those few that Hunter mentioned are a perfect example of having the car sideways in the air, because as soon as you're landing, you're pointing the way you want to go, and you're making up time everywhere. You know, you also want to keep your tires on the ground the most possible, so we're not intentionally trying to get the most air at times we want to keep the car on the ground and pointed the way it needs to go.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so I only have two questions left, and the final question was, when you're not in the lead, I saw you guys do this a lot, especially on the first few laps, because you're so aggressive on the first few laps. Do you lead, or do you follow right behind, or do you take every different line to try to see if you can find an option line to pass?
I'll be honest with you, the first couple laps, I'm usually a little more timid. I start picking up the aggression towards the end. I mean, if I get an opportunity, I'm definitely going to throw it in there, but, you know, especially with the weather, I didn't know if it was going to be slick or tacky, and so at least the first lap, I would try to feel it out a little bit and then start, you know, picking the pace up, especially when I was behind Cody or Cody Miller. You know, just seeing the lines they're taking, mine were, I wouldn't say way different than everybody else's, but they were definitely different. So I was just trying to see what was working and what wasn't.
And so, like, for other new drivers or the kids that are soaking up all this information, you take different lines to be able to see if it gains or if it loses. Are you comfortable doing that behind?
Absolutely. And by different line, I'm not talking, like, way outside in a berm or way inside. You know, I'm talking about moving over, you know, literally inches. A perfect example is after that little step up, we used to be going the other direction. There's a big bull turn.
Yep.
And Cody Miller just actually posted his last reel on Instagram, I think. Does it perfect. I was maybe 6 inches further to the right going into that next right-hand turn, and as it drops down, there's just a little ridge about that tall that I was able to stick my front right tire in that would just hold me way further inside than everybody else was doing. And then when I would round that next hop and come off that straightaway, I was already lined up and making grip down at everybody else. It's kind of spinning and getting a little sideways and gripping a little bit.
Yeah,
right there.
So it makes a big difference. And those little adjustments is exactly what we were talking about, right, at the beginning of the show and all throughout the show. Like, Cody, you do the same kind of thing, or how do you come out? You're a little bit more aggressive, like trying to get a lead at the front, or what?
I mean, for me, it's a little bit different scenario, and I'm working my way up there, but I'm still not quite at their pace, even though, you know, I can hit a few lap times matching theirs at times. But actually, with, like, in the start, if I get the whole shot, I'm like Hunter, I'm more timid, I'm driving more defensive, because I know those guys are going to be all over my butt, so I'm going to hug the insides as much as I can, and try not to get loose in the turns, because I know they're going to drive in on me. I could probably go faster, but just trying to be safe and defensive is the main thing on my mind. I do pick up the pace. I feel like I pick up the pace a lot once I'm chasing somebody, or, you know, especially these guys, I can see what they're doing, see where they're going. You know, all that stuff changes from one race to the next or during the race, the track conditions. So
yeah, it makes a big difference, though, I think, and especially in my mind. Like, you know, I've raced professionally too, but hearing you guys talk, it really gives me an insight as to what racers do. So I can only imagine what the kids are thinking now when they hear you guys talk. It's really cool for you guys to give them a little bit of insight, information, and clearly you're already helping them at the track and stuff, so I really appreciate it, man. I only got one final question for both of you guys tonight. We already know what the answer is for Cody Miller. He's going to pick tacos. You guys got tacos or hamburger?
Beef.
All that. He'll take the taco shell or the hamburger buns, throw them in the garbage.
Yes. Just straight up protein for Cody Taylor, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Right on. Well, thank you guys very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. We all wish we were with Cody Miller having some food. It looks like a really good place. You guys did a fantastic job this weekend. It totally showed us all some really good racing. We really appreciate it. So we'll see you guys at April 9th and 10th, I think it is, for rounds 3 and 4.
Yep. We'll see you out there. And George, I just want to say one more time, like, man, you killed it on the live stream out there. I mean, you're in there by yourself a little bit, and that's kind of hard to do, you know, to call all that, nobody to fire back at you. So just want to give you another compliment on that. Y'all did, and the whole production crew, I mean, y'all did a really, really good job. It's a big step forward for the Outlaw Series, for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you, dude. I really appreciate it. Hope maybe you can come in the booth and hang out for a little bit next time.
Yeah, maybe we'll see.
See, I'd like to get some.
I'm not that good on the mic. I don't know. You have to carry it.
I kind of want to get some of the kids in there. Like, it was really fun to have some of those kids come in and like talk with us. So I think it would be cool. But yeah, thank you guys both. Really appreciate it. We'll see you guys in April.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That'd be really cool to get a kid in there during our race and kind of, you know, get them to break down the race.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So yeah, thank you guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, have a good one.
Yeah, you guys too. Thank you. All right, so we're going to wind down the show a little bit. It was really cool to talk with everybody. I'm so stoked that everybody was pleased with the whole weekend. Obviously, my work, I really enjoyed it. It was awesome to have the opportunity to be able to do that, so I'm going to enjoy doing it for the rest of the series with all you guys. Thank you guys very much for joining us and hanging out. All of our guests, we had Cruz Bouchard, Bella Bouchard. Let's see here. We only had Jacob Geisendorf and Corey Willis for just a minute, but thank you for them for trying to come on and hang out. Eddie Ensign, Jaden Lindemood, Holly Mulligan, fan favorite Holly Mulligan, Brian Atkinson, clearly race director, promoter. He did a very good job this weekend too. Colin Truitt, Hunter and Cody Miller, and Cody Taylor. So thank you very much to everybody for hanging out, having fun with us tonight. We have an awesome show for you guys. Next Monday, it's going to be the Mint 400 recap. We're going to be, Dirt Life's going to be out at the Mint 400. We're going to call the live feed with some fantastic announcers there as well. So hang out with us on that live feed. Give me some tips on what we can do better as well. So appreciate all you guys for hanging out and the Dirt Life show. Oh, yeah, share the Dirt Life show, man. Keep sharing the Dirt Life show. Awesome, awesome thing. Oh, and if you guys want any sponsor deals, go over to thedirtlifeshow.com and hit the sponsor deals button. You can get all the sponsor deals over there. We really appreciate everybody. Thanks to the guys at IMG Motorsports. Thank you to all of our sponsors, KMC, Motul, EFX, Shock Therapy, Evolution Power Sports, Zollinger Racing Products, Cryo Heat, and Solder Weld. We'll see you guys at the Mint, and then we'll see you guys next Monday. Good night.
Thanks for listening to The Dirt Life Show. See you next week.